Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here it is, the highlight of my very sad and meaningless life, when I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field stadium announcer, doing this read at no extra charge to the fans.
That's right.
Philip R.J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
It's funny you should start today's program by talking about Phil.
Really, is it?
Yeah, because he called me and he needs a favor of you.
What's the favor?
When you get a chance, call him. He needs Jack Nicholson's phone number. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Obibene in the alley and all the ships at sea. Hey, just ask Buzz. You can fit the entire contents of the program in one Ziploc bag.
Right.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening.
Yeah.
New episode on this Wednesday, May 31,
year 2000,
phone number same as it was yesterday.
Same as it ever was.
877-365-3636. Lisa, the Nympho, Toya Swallow standing by to take your telephone calls. I guess the first item of business will be to tell you that we have, in fact, come up with a date and a prize for the pregnant bikini contest.
Fantastic.
All right. Now, ladies, to enter this contest, you got to be at least in your third trimester, and you got to have a bikini.
What is the third trimester? What is, as a father of two, I know I should know that, but what month is that?
Heading towards the home stretch.
All right, like the sixth, seventh month?
Yeah, something
minimum
like that.
The final 3 months.
Yeah.
Final, yeah. I guess 3, 6, 9 would be the third trimester.
The trimester.
So 6 months or more pregnant.
Right. Not to be confused with the trimester, which is a product endorsed by Suzanne Summers.
Right, the trimester. Fantastic.
That's how Japanese guys say it. Hey, oh, look at that trimester.
Trimester.
Okay, so, ladies, if you're pregnant, we're going to have the bikini contest, the pregnant bikini contest, a week from Monday. So we got plenty of time to get the contestants, but we have a day, and it's June 12th. We got a great prize, a free vacation to Los Angeles. That's what we're going to be giving away. First prize.
That's a great prize.
For the pregnant bikini contest. We are still working on the bad tooth contest, and we're also working on the feces and the species.
The feces of the species.
Right. Working on that. We are... Right now, let me see. Oh, there's a bunch of things I need to ask in general. Maybe Buzz has the answers to some of these.
I'll try.
Three items from Europe that caught my eye. First, I saw today on the news, and I need to know where in England so we can call. They do that annual retarded cheese rolling thing.
I saw a video of that last evening where they were running down the hill.
Yeah, where they get this big wheel of cheese.
I mean, a mountain, not a hill, really, like a ski slope.
They get a wheel of cheese, and they roll it down a hill, and like 500 idiot British guys go running after it. But because the hill is at such a gigantic slope,
right,
at such an incline, guys start falling and tripping.
They have paramedics out there and everything for people who, you know, might break their neck.
Right. So need to find out about that.
Okay.
Also need to find out about where it is in Turkey. And if anybody has information on this, let us know. In Turkey, where they have an annual soccer tournament where the guys get drunk on purpose before they play soccer. Okay?
All right. That's down, I think, on the mall down here in Washington, D.C.
No, that's in Turkey, Mike.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Where they get drunk on purpose and they wear the little soccer outfits and they run around and they're bombed and they're trying to play soccer.
I would assume maybe there's some Ziploc bags there, too.
And then the third item from overseas, also from Britain, where they have something called the Danger Sports Club, where there are people who go bungee diving off roofs and off bridges.
Right.
They've actually bungee dived into volcanoes that were erupting.
That's a club you could join.
Well, listen to what happened. Over the weekend, I started to tell you this yesterday. I totally forgot about it. They had a woman. And what this woman did was she got in a catapult.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal was she's going to be catapulted 50 feet in the air into a net.
Cool, man.
So what happens is, they let the catapult go, like one of those ye old King Arthur's court type things.
Just goes straight down.
No. It shot her in the air.
Yeah.
She hit the back end of the safety net.
Right.
Because she hit the back end of the safety net, rather than simply rolling to safety, she bounced up in the air, 10 feet into the air, and she overshot all of the protective bags that they had. You know those big inflatable bags like that stunt guys use? She instead fell into a pile of tires and broke her back.
Oh my God!
And we need to find out what city they do this, the Danger Sports Club. That
the Danger Sports Club.
And we need to call that girl. So those are the three things that I wish to talk about from Europe today.
You've been watching CNN International again, haven't you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did, Buzz.
That's what I thought. I have found your cheese rollers. They're in, forgive me if I mispronounce this, Gloucester, England?
Gloucester.
Gloucester?
Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Gloucester. There we go. Here's how the machine works. Robbie, get me the phone numbers. In Gloucester, England.
Gloucester. Randwick, okay. Gloucester, England.
Okay, beautiful. Now work on the turkey thing, Buzz.
I'm on it.
And also work on the lady who catapulted herself and broke her spleen.
Right.
She landed in tires.
In Britain. From the Danger Sports Club. Tonight, I guess the big talk tonight is that CBS is debuting the show Survivor.
I'm very excited about this show. I really am. You know, I've heard all the talk where they're saying, hey, it's just like the real world and stuff with an eye. But, I mean, I still think it's innovative, unique programming, and it's something worth watching.
Well, we've talked about it since we got the first news release about this show, like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I'm CBS, first of all, I'm glad that I have something that maybe people who are not menopausal is going to watch.
Right.
And second, I think it's a fantastic vote of confidence that ABC has rescheduled Regis to put the Millionaire Show on against the Survivor Show tonight.
I think I heard the producer, his name is Burnett, that was talking about Survivor, talking about the fact that ABC has put this show, you know, Millionaire against Survivor. And what it is, it's a no-lose situation for Survivor. If they beat Millionaire, then everybody will say, hey, this is the new phenomenon. If they don't, you can just say, well, you know, who could have expected it to beat Millionaire its first time out?
Right. I bet it'll do great. I really
think
it will
do really well.
And the guy who you saw interviewed is probably the same guy that I saw, the guy that we had on the phone that day. The guy in the car
Smug.
Phone, the British guy.
Johnny Smugster.
Right.
Johnny Smug guy. But I'll tell you what's exciting about the... Remember when we did that interview with him early on, when before this, you know, all the hype went really crazy, and he was saying that the neatest thing about this show is the backstabbing, the backbiting. That's the real soap opera factor, which I'm looking forward to watching, you know, when you get past the snakes. And the only other question I would have, are there any significant hotties that are going to be on the
yes,
the island?
There are, and there are people on this island who, in episodes still to come, will actually mate.
Yes. Really?
Yes, there will be guys who bone girls.
Well, 39 days.
Right.
You know, it's lonely out on that island with snakes and rats.
Oh, and I also want to just give a big shout-out and a nice howdy to the 20, maybe 30, sounds like maybe 40 or 50 immigrants that my wife has on the roof right now, installing our brand new roof.
Ah, the roofers are there.
They came like in one of those little clown cars today, where one car pulled up, and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, if anybody out there works for INS, you should come to my house, because I'm positive that there's a boatload of illegals right now.
They can do a little green card check. And
right now, on my roof. And I'm talking about all ages, all sizes, all shapes, and all ages. They've got a guy who has to be, I'm not being facetious, 70. They got a guy who's maybe...
Is the 70-year-old the foreman, or is he just a laborer?
The 70-year-old...
Does he look like he's giving the orders?
No, he was actually climbing the roof.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Climbing the roof. And they have, like, teenage boys out there.
They have ropes tied around them?
No need.
No. Uh-huh.
Certainly no. I just found that the only thing I found disconcerting, besides the constant banging on the roof and,
right.
and the noise and stuff, was as I was sitting in my TV room,
mm-hmm.
you know, every once in a while I would realize that I'm being looked at, and it would be a guy outside climbing the ladder to get up to the roof.
And he's just having himself a good long stare.
He would actually stop for a second and you know, look at me and look at the TV. And I thought, well, would it be rude if I went over and, you know, shut the blinds?
Not at all.
Well, no, I didn't think so either, which is what I ended up doing.
That's a good move, absolutely.
Look at this thing. What if I happen to be getting my jerk on or something?
Exactly.
One of those guys walked
and
by.
Well, if he lingered on that, you'd have a problem there.
And also, I want to say hello to the good people at my car dealership.
Aho.
Hi, how you doing?
That'd be the first sign. We have worm sign.
How you doing?
Oh, you know, I've raved out about a lot of car dealerships. I don't think you've ever had a real good rave out. Are you ready yet?
No, not yet, but I'm getting close.
I'm going to kind of stoke that fire, you know?
Because, you know, last week I had the problem with the car, and I told you I brought it in, and when I brought it in, they said to me, well, listen, even though the emissions light is on,
mm-hmm.
that's probably just a loose sensor.
Right.
And even though I checked the oil, and it said the car had no oil in it,
right.
when they checked it the next day, they said, no, look, it's perfect. Now, keep in mind that I was reading the dipstick the same way they were.
Yeah.
And I even went and got the book out of the console to make sure I was reading the dipstick correct. But the guy says to me last week, right before he went to New York, no need to worry. Just bring the car in next week. Don't worry, the emissions light, no problem. Well, I don't know if I told you this or not yesterday, but over the weekend we got back from New York, I got into the car at the airport, and I put my foot on the gas, and I mean a cloud of smoke came out of the...
Might not have any oil in there.
No, not out of the front of the car. This time out of the back of the car.
Well, same thing, though. I mean, if you're low on oil and you're burning oil, it's gonna shoot out that... You got an oil problem. Something in your crankcase is not proper.
And it became so goddamn embarrassing over the weekend that I didn't drive the car over the weekend because you're out in traffic and you're at a stoplight.
Buzz, I gotta tell you something. You're doing that thing when you're like looking at the internet and paying attention to the show.
Right.
Buzz is over there. You always do that same kind of when you're over there looking at that. It's
always working on a side job.
Yeah, you know, I can always tell. I was sitting there and I heard Buzz's that tells me that he's doing two things at once, and sure enough he was looking right there at the internet.
But you were embarrassed to drive the car because of the smoke and the oil.
See, so, you ain't paying attention.
That shows that he's got two sides of his brain working right there.
Yeah. So, you know, you get to a stoplight and then you put your foot on the gas. Well, now, Mike, you're not looking at the
internet. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I apologize. Yes, go ahead.
Put your foot on the gas not a little smoke. I mean, a gigantic, like, do you remember that gizmo that Batman had in the Batmobile? Where Batman would be driving along, and I think James Bond had this also. Uh-huh. You press a button, and all of the smoke comes out behind you, and people are no longer able to see.
It's the old Aston Martin that they used to have,
where he
had that, and he had the tire shredder, and he had the bulletproof metal plate that used to come up on his Aston Martin.
The money metal plate, and he also had the the guns that came out of the front of the car. Smoke screen, that's what it is.
And it was a great Corgi car, one of the great Corgi toy cars.
And not only that, do you remember in the Corgi car, it had the ejector seat?
Oh, it's fantastic.
It came with the little James Bond guy, and you press the button on the side of the car, and if you had the sunroof open, James Bond would go popping out.
He'd shoot right out. It was the red Corgi seat. Cool.
So all of this has been happening to the car all weekend long, and I call up the dealership again, and I say, listen, there really is something wrong. And they're patronizing me, saying, listen, we had the car in, we looked at the car, it's fine. We're positive that it's just a glitch in the car's computer system that the emissions light is on.
This is not the first problem in general you've had with this car.
They said, but if it would make you feel better, bring the car by. Yeah, they said this to me yesterday. Bring the car by tomorrow. So, I got in the car last night. We're leaving work. Fire up the engine. A ton of smoke comes out. I make the turn out of the station, and all of a sudden a new light comes on. And this time I get a little message with it, and it says, oil pressure low.
Ooh.
Danger. Stop ASAP.
That's incredible. I mean, that means that you have no oil in the crankcase.
So I call the dealership, and I say, listen, not only is the emissions light on, not only is smoke pouring out, but now I got a light on that says, you know, danger, low oil pressure.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
He says to me, you're okay, take it home. Bring it in the morning. Now, keeping in mind that the car...
That's not what he should tell you.
Keeping in mind that the car is under warranty...
I think I know where the problem was.
I'm thinking, well, okay. So I take it home. I bring it to the dealership this morning. I drive carpool. I take my kid to school. And then I go to the dealership. And I pull in. And they come out. And right away, they're looking at me like, oh, here's Mr. Hypochondriac. How are you doing?
Right.
Think about, how are you? I said, listen, I don't know what's wrong with this car, but something's wrong with this car. And he said, if you just give us 5 minutes, we will reset the computer in the car, and I'm sure everything will be fine. I said,
oh,
no.
So they're thinking there's nothing mechanically wrong with the car, that it's a faulty computer giving you signals.
I said, just watch this for a second. And I get back in the car, I start it up, and I give it a little gas, and I mean goddamn air pollution like you would not believe. A billowing cloud of polluted air
out of a relatively new car.
Yeah, out of a car with 30,000 miles on.
Right.
Car's still under warranty. Comes out and he goes, how long has it been doing that? And I said, since Friday. Since I called you on Friday.
God.
And now the oil light has gone off.
Yeah, I think the problem is with these service guys.
And then, you know, then all of a sudden they spring into action like a Chinese fire drill. I got 8,000 guys surrounding the car all of a sudden. And they take it away.
Is they'll take it away and they'll give it back to you, and the same thing will happen.
They say, well, we'll let you know.
We didn't, you know. Now, what do you do if they come back to you and they say, we really couldn't find anything?
That's the day that I have the meltdown. Because I'm still
haven't
giving
haven't they done that to you once before?
They did that
where
one time
they took
before.
It in where you had the little warning light and they said, we reset the computer. We looked at it. Nothing we could find.
That was the last time. So this is the last warning on this. If if the car still F's up after I get the car back, then I'll come in and we'll do a wonderful hour about it.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. And Rob, you can keep your stupid notes. I should have bought American.
Should have bought American.
You knock it off with that should have bought American stuff, please. Bad stuff happens to me in every car that I have. I've had American cars. I've had
you
German
haven't mentioned
cars.
The brand name yet, right? And you're not going to mention the brand
name. Well, anybody who listens knows what kind of car I drive. I've mentioned it before. I haven't mentioned it specifically.
Well,
not
in this conversation. I just won't mention in this conversation without mentioning brand names. I had a similar brand name once that I actually had to return.
Really?
I mean, return the whole thing, and, wow. And it never worked out.
I still think the car is great. I just think that they, you know, they've got a lot of people calling with complaints, and they probably think it's easiest to handle it that way. But I'm telling you, when I was able to pull in today and show them the billowing cloud of smoke,
yeah, I mean, and you're not the type of person
finally wised up.
You're not the type of person who will, you know, obsess over that. You. I mean, the only reason you're bringing it in is because the lights are going on.
Yeah.
The smoke's coming out. Because by and large, if it was up to you, you would never see those guys.
No, you know, I drive it until. Listen, the very first car that I had, I drove it, and the oil light was on, and I heard click, 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 click from the engine.
Right.
And I drove it until I actually cracked the engine block,
mm-hmm.
because I never bothered to put oil in the car.
That would be the engine seizing due to lack of,
yes, correct.
Of oil. And the click, click, click
right.
Was the engine saying to you, I am about to explode.
Right, the click, click, click. So car maintenance, as you know, is not my strong suit. However, I have in recent years...
You've gotten better at it.
...gotten more involved in the car.
You went from no maintenance at all, then you went through the phase where you would go to the non-reputable, non-dealership places to get your oil done.
Yeah. Yes, and then I would do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But this incidentally has nothing to do with me having changed the oil myself. This is a problem, I believe. This is a problem that is deep inside the car.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
You did change the oil.
I did.
Several times on that
Three
car.
Times I've changed the oil on that car.
And
three times.
And the problem you're having right now, I'm not pointing any fingers here.
The problem is with the turbo.
It's
with the turbo. It has nothing to do with the oil that I changed. Okay. So you just, whatever you're going to say,
I'm not going to say.
Like Dr. Evil would say, just zip it.
Zip it. www.zipit.com.
Zipit.com.
Yes, Scott.
Oops. Hello. We're trying to take a phone call here. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, and Mike. Hi. Hi.
Hey, you're getting your roof done today, huh?
Yes, I am. You know, if only the car dealership was as efficient as these 50 guys who climbed out of this little Honda
uh-huh.
doing my roof right now.
Right. What time were they there this morning?
7 a.m., Mike.
7 a.m. sharp?
7 a.m. sharp.
You got to like a work crew that gets there at 7 o'clock sharp. That
God
means they're good.
Them.
They're good guys.
Well, sure. They've got to get back down to Arizona to climb the fence to get back to Mexico by the end of the day.
Well, God, I'm getting my roof.
The roof's going to be leaking when you get home today.
No problem. They don't speak English. Not a problem. I know that because I went out today. I tried to
right.
do that thing where I was standing around supervising.
Right.
Said, hi, how you doing? Hey, watch out for that that little part right up there. That's kind of slippery. The guy that we have here. Hey, no habla inglés.
Do you know the guy that built my house, a guy named Norbert, was from Mexico. He was actually from Texas, but he was a Mexican immigrant. And he would go on the job site, and he's talking to me, and we became very good friends.
He built you an Adobe?
Yeah. We were talking during the whole thing. And we're having a nice conversation, and we became very good friends. And he told me a funny story. He said, watch this. And it was a new crew of guys that were speaking Spanish that did not know him and didn't know that he was Mexican-American.
Right.
And he said he's going to give them a... he's going to be a little curt when he tells them to do something, and then we're going to wait and see if they say something
about
him.
They say stuff about him,
and
right.
And sure enough, he said, the guy over there just said, I'm a fat effer, or something like that, and then he caught him on it, and he spoke Spanish, and they had a lot of very very quizzical looks at that moment. It was fun. So he used to do it all the time. It was fun, and it was his advantage in being a building supervisor. And
I
was fun.
They're saying that about me today when they're out on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the lazy American disc jockey.
laying on his couch, watching his ESPN.
I bet he's about to get his jerk on.
Hello, you American pig. Why not just pull your pants down? Get a nice J.O., huh? You pig. I don't doubt it.
More reason why we should all be bilingual.
Right. Hello, Don, in my show. No, that's why this should only be one language in this country. American.
Like the Billy Crystal movie, Don't Get Me Started.
Hello, yeah, I'm sorry. What'd you want?
Well, anyway, I've got guys up on my roof nailing today, too.
Yes?
How much did you have to put out for yours? Can you say?
No, I can't. No, I can't. I mean, I could, but...
You can, but it's painful for you.
It's very embarrassing.
Over 10?
I would rather not say.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I would rather not say.
How much did you pay for yours, sir?
31.
3,100?
3,100.
Mm-hmm.
27 right. Squares. Good deal, I think.
See, this guy's ahead of us already.
He knows all about it. I don't know what the
27
hell.
27 squares.
What's a square? Like one of them tiles that they put on the roof?
Well, that's a package of so many roofing shingles. Yeah, that's what they call the squares.
See, if you know that, you're at such a decide.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the end of my knowledge.
Well, still, you're miles ahead of us.
27 squares.
I wanted to say one thing to Buzz about his puke thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I had a terrible Memorial Day weekend, and that yesterday just put a smile on my face, and he's got a way of turning a bucket of crap into a pitcher of cream. I loved it.
No, Buzz,
well,
there's a wonderful compliment.
It's a nice compliment. Yes,
wow.
It is.
And that might be a good bumper sometime, Robbie. Yeah. They can turn a bucket of crap into a pint of cream.
It's a variation on what I say often, which is, turning S into pudding.
Right. Hello. Ow.
Or chicken S into chicken salad.
Deadline number one is a bad line.
One I'd always heard.
I didn't know that one.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Don, I was stationed over at Incirlik Air Base for a couple of years. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago that I was over there.
Where is that?
It's in Turkey.
In Turkey, right.
And we used to go up and watch that match, the soccer match where everybody would get drunk or the players would get drunk. And the only thing I can equate it to is if you've ever been to a minor league baseball game in the seventh inning stretch, they have a couple of people that get the baseball bat, they put your forehead on it, you run around it.
Prince Willie used to do that.
Oh, that is
greatest
exactly
mascot in the history
like.
Of minor leagues.
That's exactly what it looks like.
You should have seen the tape of these guys playing soccer when they were drunk. Like, they were running after the ball, and they just fall down right on their face.
That's hysterical.
It was great.
It was an absolute riot. Hey, Don, I got one other thing for you, too.
Yeah, buddy, yeah.
I saw Jeff Van Gundy's car get tossed like a rag up there at the Westchester Airport about 3 weeks ago. Or
Count Van Gundy.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the Van Gundy music, Rob?
Van Gundy.
Because I know that the Knicks played tonight. We should give some love to the New York Knicks.
It's all tied up, right?
Yes, 2-2. They played tonight in Indiana.
Not labeled Van Gundy.
Hello. Patrick. Latrell.
I want you to know, the series is almighty, that 2 games apiece. And if you can't go into the Pacers' house and pull away with a victory, I will suck your blood. Very scary. Ooh.
Now, Larry Johnson, Charlie Ward, if you need me, I'll be hanging upside down in my office.
That's right, and you know what would make me, Coach Van Gundy, happy?
What?
When we hoist the championship banner to the top of the garden, I will be living up there,
hanging by my feet.
And tonight, I will suck the blood from Larry Bird, for I am Count Van Gundy.
Now, if any players need me, I'll be in my coffin.
Count Van Gundy.
Hey,
perfect.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen, though, to watch that little car go flying up in the air and land on a bunch of other cars.
Now, let me tell you a secret.
Yes.
You see, that little Honda, that inexpensive vehicle that they considered a good luck charm for Count Van Gundy, was in fact totally unnecessary. He does not need transportation. He flies. And I'm not talking about with an airplane.
And don't forget about sometimes when the moon is full, when Count Van Gundy turns into a wolf. Hello, New York Knicks. This is Count Van Gundy. We are having a team meeting tonight in the cemetery.
Hey, Knickerbockers, look up here, up at the
top of Madison Square Garden. I am flying above you like a winged creature of the night. You should win the game. For I am Jeff Van Gundy. Giant black circles under my eyes. That is because I am a creature of the night. Why do you think we have such a great record playing night games? That's why I told Patrick Ewing, never an outdoor practice.
No, not during the day.
Always inside.
The only light I can tolerate is artificial light. If I see the sun, I will turn to dust.
For I am Count Van Gundy, head coach of the New York Knicks.
Yes, there is no secret among NBA coaches that I indeed am a vampire.
Now, let's get ourselves ready for tonight's game by watching some of my favorite films. Interview with the Vampire, Wolfen,
American Werewolf in London,
and for some comic relief, The Addams Family.
Well, I'm Jeff Van Gundy, coach of the New York Knicks.
Silly Honda.
Who needs it when I have my own wings like a bat flying through the night?
Okay, so go next. That's what we're saying right now. That's
everybody
right.
In New York, go next.
And this guy on the phone saw the car get blown away.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he also, what else did he, oh, he also saw the Turkish guys get drunk and play soccer.
Absolutely.
That's what he saw. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we got like a million guys calling in to want to tell me what's wrong with my car. Like you guys have a clue. Right. Hello, Dave?
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, it's the computer, because if you're getting a lot of different readings that are wrong, such as the oil pressure reading is wrong and the temperature is wrong, and then all of a sudden it's blowing out a lot of smoke, it's because the electric fuel injector is getting a bad signal from the computer. And as soon as they change the computer, it's going to make all those problems go away at the same time.
What about the black smoke pouring out of the back of the
car?
That's because
the computer is telling it to get more fuel. You got electronic fuel injection, right?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, the computer is telling it to get a different mixture of gas that it's not supposed
to
get.
All right, thank you. Yes, hello, Head.
Nothing computer would explain why your dipstick wasn't registering any oil.
Correct.
Right. And I don't think the computer would register because, well, now 100 guys will call when I say this. I think the black smoke has nothing to do with the computer.
No, neither do I, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Just want to let you know, my friend and I, we talk about Van Gundy also. We don't call him Dracula, though. We always thought he looks like Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we say things like, quoth Van Gundy, we can't score.
You know who Van Gundy really looks like is an actor who recently passed away, and I wish I could tell you the movies this guy was in. Christ, he was in like, I know he was in
Al Lewis still alive?
No, guy with a big long face, just like Van Gundy, those gigantic bags under
his eyes. I know exactly who you're talking about, and he was in the movie where he makes the penny move and he jumps off the train.
Yeah.
What the hell was that movie called?
Oh, that was Ghost, yeah.
Ghost,
yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
Right.
He's the guy that lives on the train.
Right. Yes, and that guy is a dead ringer for Jeff Van Gundy.
He's really old. He was Hank's agent?
He is dead.
It was Phil Leeds, if it's the guy I'm thinking of.
No, I don't think it's the guy who's. I don't think it's the guy who was Hank Kingsley's agent. I don't think so.
No, not that guy. No,
Rob,
this was actually a younger guy, and he was also in. He was a priest.
Was he the teacher in Fast Times?
No.
Hold on, he might have been.
He might have been the science teacher
who took them to see
the autopsy.
The dead people.
Yeah, he was on Sanka. I can't remember his actor's name.
That's the guy.
He dated Miss DePesto from Moonlighting, and I can't think of his name.
Vincent something.
Schiavelli. Vincent Schiavelli.
That's it.
Anyways.
Head.
He's dead now. Thank you, Head. And thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Thank you. He's dead now.
I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
He was always borderline quirky, funny, but then also very, very scary, and in Ghost he was very, very scary.
Yeah, it's too bad he's dead, because he could be a dead ringer, if the pun intended. If the Knicks were to win the championship, they were going to make a movie about the Knicks.
Right.
He'd be the perfect Jeff Van Gundy.
Get off my train!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my round-eyed, terminally white brother.
Oh, listen, it's our favorite yellow friend, John Kim.
Hey, John Kim, before we go any further, these accusations about you doing perverted things, about, you know, young boys and stuff, is any of that true? Because we're going to check it out, so you better be honest with us.
It's not true.
Okay, because we got another call yesterday about you.
We're very concerned about these things.
Well, F him and his family.
All right, Kim, I hear you.
All right, this is what happened. I went up there.
Let me just give everybody a little recap here. John Kim, our favorite yellow friend, who's into fat chicks, went to a fat convention over the weekend in Philadelphia where he was looking to get laid with some nice fatties.
Yeah, he had gotten a call earlier in the week from the organizers saying, hey, don't talk about us like that, but you were undaunted. You went up there and you tried anyway.
Right.
Yeah?
So I went up there and I was expecting a big crowd, but there was only like 50 people, and 10 were men and the other were women, so, you know.
Well, that's a good ratio. It was 10 guys and 40 fat chicks.
Yeah. But when you go during the, in the middle of the summer, there's a Philly bash, a Philly BBW bash, and there's like 600 people and like 100 are just men. So.
What is BBW?
Big Beautiful Women.
Ah. BBW, okay.
BBW, no. That's not to be confused with Bad Billy Warner.
So did, listen, John Kim, did you get laid?
I didn't get laid. Almost got laid, but didn't quite get there, so.
Loser. Did you get anything?
I didn't get anything, sorry, brother. But there was some guy there that heard the show and went there looking for some. I found out.
Really? So you were not the only guy who was looking for some fat poon?
Right.
Right, okay. All right, well, rather uneventful, John Kim. A rather uneventful story. You went to the fat thing and you didn't even find a fat chick to get laid.
Should I send you another copy of this month's PBW? Pumpers and Big Women?
Sure, why not? If you want to, send it on, John Kim.
Alrighty.
All right, thank you, John Kim.
Bye, Dynamite, my brother. Bye.
There he goes, his big Coke bottle glasses, his giant buck teeth.
As you can tell, his weekend full of hilarious anecdotes.
Yeah. Almost as great as a call from Dennis Murphy, that was.
Yes, it was. You know, here I was. Wasn't he on hold yesterday, and we couldn't get to him? And then today is like, well, here's what happened. Nothing.
That's what he called back for. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Of course, who knows? He sounded very, very intimidated by the fat people when he had called before. So maybe he did get laid. Maybe he did go to one of those giant fat orgies, and he's just afraid to tell us about it.
50 people, 10 guys, 40 women, and nothing happened.
Good odds.
Just like they said in the Misty, couldn't get laid in the lumberjack camp. Hello, sorry, John.
Don and Mike Show.
Don Mike, hey, buddies.
Hey, it's Mike
the CP
comic.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I have a quick story for you.
You sure you can tell it quickly?
Yeah, a year and a half ago, I opened for Gallagher's brother.
Oh, really?
Sunday night. Gallagher called me to let me know he stole some of my material.
Now, which Gallagher called you? Gallagher 1 or Gallagher 2?
The real Gallagher.
The real Gallagher.
Right. Okay. We've talked before about the fact that Gallagher has a... This is a funny thing.
Has a twin brother.
A twin brother, and they do the same act around the country. And
he's suing his brother because his brother has taken his whole act and gone around the country as him.
And, of course, these Gallagher brothers are not to be confused with the Gallagher brothers from Oasis.
No, no, that also don't get along. Now, did they ever do this 1-2 thing together?
You mean the Watermelon Gallaghers?
Yeah, the Watermelon Gallaghers. Did they ever do the things in unison where it was... No, so it was a stolen act from Gallagher.
It's been a fight from the very beginning.
Oh, it has, okay.
In the beginning, there was Gallagher, and then his brother came along and said, hey, I want a piece of that.
Gallagher.
Buddy. There's so much demand for Gallagher that there's two of them touring independent of each other.
Does he even like sell out rooms in Branson, Missouri now?
I don't know where he plays or whether he even sells out, but he's still working or trying to as best he can with his brother out there doing what he says is an inferior act.
Please.
Yeah.
So Gallagher 1 called you, and what did Gallagher 1 say to you?
He just wanted to let me know that his brother left him one of my jokes and that he's suing his brother and it's a big battle. And
so he's calling every comedian that's come in contact with Gallagher 2, and he calls you just to tell you that he stole a joke?
You know what? I honestly don't know how he got my number, but I worked with his brother like 3 times I opened So,
Mike, was it a message or was it a regular call?
A call.
Oh, a call. I would love to hear the phone message. Yeah. Hey, hello, Mike, the CP comic. This is Gallagher, you know, the original Gallagher.
Yeah, and my brother, he stole from me. So was he basically just trying to sabotage his brother? Was that your impression when you talked to him?
Yeah, he was, I believe, trying to get people in his camp and let people know, you know,
this
that his brother's just been a real... jerk.
Uh-huh. That's amazing.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mike, the CP comic.
Dom, one more thing.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm going to L.A. after July 4th. I'll be out there for 5 days. If you guys want me to do anything or try to interview someone, I'll be out there the 5th through the 9th.
It'd be kind of cool to have us. Have our roving reporter out in Los Angeles.
Our Hollywood correspondent.
I mean, imagine the possibilities of who we could sick Mike the CP comic.
Sure, Mike. Yeah, call Charlie. Call Charlie. We'll set something up.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a great day.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mike.
Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye. Mike the CP comic, aligned with both of the Gallagher brothers.
You can tell that both the Gallagher 1 and 2 just trying to, compete for the favors of Mike the CP comic.
You know, how freaking funny is that? The fact that there's not only that there's one Gallagher doing that lame act, but there's a duplicate twin doing the same act, and that they're suing each other.
They're twins and they hate each other. And it's very unusual for twins to feel that way about one another. I mean, there's usually a bond that's very difficult to break, but obviously...
Well, except when one has a great groundbreaking comedy act, Mike, and the other one has the balls to steal it.
Oh, absolutely. Get my raincoat. I want to sit in the second row.
Toe tapping, punch punch. There they are. Clear those lines out right now. Time for call 100. Prize package selected especially for you. Shot at the money with the secret sound. 877-365-3636. Be the 100th call.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me, and you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your families, too. Now let's talk about the game.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Call 100 times. And here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, buddy. Hello, Mom.
Bobby.
Who is this?
This is JJ in Chambersburg.
JJ.
Yes.
JJ. You never going to amount to anything, JJ.
I heard you.
JJ, call 100, and you have won a pair of tickets to see Carlos Santana in concert, courtesy of AnyTicket.net.
All right.
Go to AnyTicket.net for the best concert seats and tickets to see the Washington Redskins. But wait, now you're going to go for the big bucks for $500. JJ, J squared, have you heard Secret Sound number 3?
No, can't say as I have.
Ah, what a surprise that is, huh?
I'd heard it, all right. It's a virginal listen, a common, everyday sound. Play it for you now. You identify the sound, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
How many people, you think, just bash their fingers and their hands and their arms and their entire torso against the front of their car when they hear someone call and say, no, I've never heard him before.
And the odds are in my favor. Yes!
People who are dying
to
play this contest, who think they have an idea. Well, who knows? JJ, maybe you'll get it. What is the sound?
Something being dropped into a waste paper can.
No. Oh, we're sorry.
No.
I beg your pardon?
Nope, absolutely not. Thank you, though, and JJ, remember, almost every time, every guest is a clue.
Clue for you.
Thank you, J squared. Thank you. Hold on, please. That was JJ, the exciting JJ. Everybody.
I got the impression that he had a marvelous time.
Okay, now, we have information about the cheese rolling.
Okay.
From Gloucester, is that how you pronounce
it? Yep, Gloucester. That's what I hear.
Gloucester, England. First Sunday in May is a unique opportunity to witness the ancient custom of cheese rolling. Well, it must be the last Sunday in May, because I just saw it on the news just today.
Yeah, and there was videotape that looked pretty fresh.
After rolling three double Gloucester cheeses around the church. One is cut up and shared by bystanders, and the other two are rolled down a steep hill.
I guess you got to pick the grass out of it, though.
Yeah. And what's the point of this?
I mean, you have to see the tape of this, of these nutty British guys, where they're standing up on top of really what looks like a mountain, like something that would be a Mission Impossible 2.
I think what it is very similar to the running of the bulls. This is an opportunity for, you know, a European country, people to do things foolish when they have lots of time on their hands.
But at least when you're running with the bulls...
Right.
You know, as retarded as that is...
Yes.
At least I can see that there's some logic there, that you're running away. There's a bull who's running after you.
Right.
And your motivation is to run very fast so that the bull doesn't gore you. They're just taking a big wheel of cheese, rolling it down a steep hill and saying, go get it.
And the first guy that catches it, it's a race.
And what does the guy get, the first guy who catches it?
He gets the cheese and the respect of his peer group.
Right, well, we are going to call the police.
I'm not sure whether there's a cash prize. We'll have to ask when we speak to the Gloucester Police Department.
Find out if there's a cash prize.
Hello.
You get to keep the cheese. It's such a big wheel. It's such a big wheel, it will feed a family for years.
Hello.
Ask them if they know Flo from the beach house.
They probably do.
The police, how can I help you?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We're calling you from America.
Not me, I'm sorry.
Is there anybody there we can speak to about your cheese roll? The rolling of the cheese down the hill?
I can put you through to call management. Someone may be able to help you there.
Oh, thank you, love.
It's a tradition, really.
Hello.
It's a bit of a ancient family tradition.
Hello. This is Flo from the beach house.
Come on. I'm 22. I'm 22. I'll take you all on.
I'll give you a BJ. My name's Fred.
You want a BJ? Are you having me on? Are you having me on now?
Oh, buggers. They're not answering the phone.
Oh, bollocks.
And I'll get nowhere in England.
It's nice to know. I just want to say, it's nice to know that in the UK, they can still give you the same runaround that police departments do around here. Go on.
Robbie, why don't you find me a number besides the police department? Right. Somebody besides the police.
Maybe the cheese factory. Would it be like, Wisconsin, where I make the cheese?
Oh, yeah. The town we used to live in Wisconsin was good, Beloit, Wisconsin. A cheese factory right in the center of town.
That had to smell good.
And every summer, I swear to God, you would go downtown and it smelled rancid, like the inside of someone's jockstrap, because the cheese factory, no lie, a real cheese factory,
right,
in the middle of Beloit, Wisconsin.
They had their renderings, right?
Yes, they would be making cheese.
Oh.
And every once in a while, if you were lucky, like on a Friday, you could pull up and you could buy some of their leavens, some of the cheese leavens.
I bet it was good cheese.
Like for a dollar. You'd give them a dollar, and they would just give you a bag
of leavens
that had assorted cheese leavens.
The best cheese ever.
The gentle, easy lifestyle.
Was it
Beloit, Wisconsin?
Was it gourmet cheese, or was it the processed, big time cheese that you get like Kraft Singles?
No, I think it was. I'm pretty sure. You know, my brother would know, but I should just try to call my brother. I'll call my brother anyway about suing my parents.
I'd love to talk cheese. I mean, I know that you've spoken very fondly about your days in the cheese factory area.
Yes, in Beloit, Wisconsin.
And you guys would get free cheese a lot? Would you go down and get the free cheese?
You wouldn't get free cheese. You
get a dollar?
A dollar on Friday, and they would give you a paper bag, a brown paper bag that was full of cheese leavens.
Cheese leavens.
All right, let me see if my brother's at home.
Scary that it wasn't a clear plastic bag with a Ziploc. Probably smelled the same as Buzz's bag. There might have been a similarity there.
Right. Although, who knows? Maybe my brother's at work right now. We'll just leave a message, have him call in.
The number you have reached, 36.
Okay, hold on. Maybe I misdialed.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to your brother, find out exactly what's going on. Give him a little moral support. Sounds like he had a bad day yesterday.
I never heard from him last night.
Mm.
Okay, let me see.
Well, the number you have reached, 36.
I don't know. You know him.
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, dear.
Could be. He could have... Oh, hold on. I dialed the wrong number.
Good. Good.
I was going to say, he could have pulled a Rusty Ford on us.
It's out of service again. Mike, they turned my electricity off.
Or he had to change his number again.
It's our good old friend Rusty Ford.
Nope.
The number you have reached, 368.
Nope, that's it. Sorry. Number out of service.
It's been taken out of service?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Yep. All right, well, maybe he'll call in today.
Our old friend Rusty used to have his phone and electricity turned off almost every other month. And I remember one time I was walking up to his apartment when they had the big blue slip taped to his door. Oh, damn. They did it again, Mike. Oh, what am I going to cook my beans on?
You remember how pissed Rusty would get? We used to do a bit on the show. We'd bet to find out if Rusty's phone was turned on or not. We'd all bet, and then live on the air we'd call and see if we got the boop, boop, boops, and the phone number you've dialed is temporarily out of service.
And I swear to God, it seemed like, you know, there were periods of time when his phone would be turned on, but it seemed like every time you called that number, we got the doo-doo-doo.
Disconnected. Temporarily disconnected because he didn't pay the bill.
He also got mad when we'd play that that old song, Just Got Paid.
Just Got Paid.
Friday night.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that the Gallagher brothers...
Yes, ma'am.
They're not twins, but they are brothers.
Oh, that's scary.
They're not twins, but they look exactly the same, don't they?
Kind of. The one brother that I think is copying the original grew his hair out and wears the same striped shirt. But when I read the magazine article, I don't remember. They're not twins, but they are brothers.
Well, Gallagher is bald outside of that hair that's on the side of his head that he's grown down to his shoulders, right?
I would think, wouldn't they have to look at least similar enough you couldn't tell the difference? Because doesn't Gallagher, too, go on the road and he doesn't say, hey, I'm Gallagher's brother. He says, I'm Gallagher.
He wears the striped shirt and the suspenders, and he wears that same driver's cap with the long hair. So when they're in costume and they're performing, even though they're not twins, they do look very, very much alike.
How do you know so much about Gallagher?
I read the same article this woman did. I believe it was in People magazine a few
weeks
ago.
Be honest, Buzz.
Yeah.
Be honest. Be honest.
Okay, I travel with him. No,
he goes to the show.
Buzz is a fan.
Yes. That's Buzz's favorite comedian. It's always a toss-up between Gallagher and Yakov Smirnoff.
And don't forget Jeff Foxworthy. Yeah. All of Buzz's favorite.
Ray Stevens.
Not enough time.
Giggle Meisters.
We ought to compose Buzz's list of favorite comedians.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
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 I just wanted to tell you, that guy that you're talking about, the Jeff Van Gundy lookalike, not dead. He's actually even got an infomercial on where he's selling either cookware or he's doing something with some sort of a cooking infomercial. And I think he's selling pots and pans or whatever.
If you're going to contradict it, it's very difficult when you're not coming up with real information here.
Hey, Buzzy.
Yes?
Ask Jeeves.
Okay.
What was the guy's name, Rob?
I don't remember his name.
Okay, I'm not. Hold on.
Thank you.
What's his name, Robbie?
Vincent Schiavelli. I think it's
S-C-H-I-A-V-I. Yeah.
All
right, hang on just a second.
You want to ask Jeeves and find out if he's alive or dead?
S-C-H-I-A-V-E-L-L-I.
I think I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is William.
Yes, hi, William.
I'm given to understand that you're looking on information on Gloucester's cheese roll.
Yes, we are, sir.
Yes. Well, I'm originally from the area. In the 1860s, the cheese roll was begun by Darby Smith. Now, he was more what you would call a pioneer in cheese roll. We don't have too many sports in the Gloucester area.
You don't believe this guy, Mike?
Not for a second. No, he's lying.
You don't believe me either,
it's a bad British accent.
Not
a bit.
No, I do have a bad British accent.
Yes, you do. It's terrible, my good man. It's not legitimate.
Well, it's from Washington, D.C. now, unfortunately. I've been living in D.C. for the past 4 years.
That's of course. Are you having us on?
Having you on? I haven't used that in years. I've been in England. I'm sorry.
Oh, buggers, I believe that Mike busted you.
Yes, I believe you're jerking our chain and that the conclusion of this diatribe will result in some sort of D's nuts.
He's rubbed us up.
No, not at all.
Or perhaps one of those Joseph Mother calls.
Of course. Of course, that's exactly where he's going with this.
Well, perchance, yes.
Yes, not perchance.
Yes, absolutely.
You have busted me. Please do not leave my phone number today.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. All right. Yeah. Bye. See ya.
That's terrible.
Bah.
Yes, I know. In the 1860s, you see.
Hello.
He's a real machine.
On Mike's show. Hello.
Don?
Yes, hey, hi.
Gallagher's brother, Gallagher 2.
Yes.
He is a huge fat guy. Gallagher is more Moses-like than Gallagher 2.
All right. Hey, you know, we're going to have to get a picture of both Gallaghers so we can decide for ourselves.
It's amazing. You know, in the internet age, it is truly amazing. You know, we can find out the questions that would previously go unanswered, we can find out instantaneously.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike, Buzz. Hi, it's Frank from Germantown. How's it going?
Yes, hello, Frank.
Quick note for Buzz. To get a life status on Vincent Schiavelli, go to a website, International Movie Database.
That's a good one. Try that one, Buzz.
Okay.
It's imdb.com.
Hey, Robbie, okay. I'm afraid we need the Father Time music. Oh, I'm, Rob is not. Look at that. Rob has actually left his meal in the back of the room. That's how busy he is today.
Unattended.
Okay. Hold on. And
this is giving Buzz a little extra time.
Here's the music.
Now, is that with the W's?
Yes, www.imdb.com.
No, Buzz, it's sans W's.
He actually
everything's with W's,
no,
right?
No, it isn't. No, my website's not.
Your website?
Right.
What, your personal website?
Well, my business one, you know, for my other stuff.
It doesn't start with www?
Mm-hmm.
What does it start with?
HTTP/?
Right, and then just right into the name. A lot of new websites are doing that because they're running out of addresses.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, more or less.
But if you went on a, couldn't you type in www dot and then whatever your website is, it would still come up?
I haven't actually tried that, but maybe. A lot of these search engines now are really smart about that.
I just love the energy whenever we do this little experiment.
Okay, I have the movie database. Now I'm looking for Vincent Schiavelli, or Schiavelli, as this guy pronounces it.
All right, and of course, at the same time, Charles Broyhill's coming to our studio, and he is firing up our computer since he is now in a race with you, Buzz, to see who can download this the fastest.
Oh, I didn't know it'd be a race.
What was the other information we were trying to get? There were two.
A picture of the Gallagher brothers.
The Gallagher brothers, right.
A picture of both of them. All right, hold on.
The guy claims that the one Gallagher is super turbo fat.
Charlie Broyhill still trying to look for the name. Thank you. We're on it. Thank you, Frank.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
I'm to his listing now. What did you want to know about him?
Whether he's alive or dead.
Okay. Have his birth date.
What you're hearing now, ladies and gentlemen, this is confident Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
This is Buzz way out in front.
Now, initially, how did we find out he was dead? Did you read it somewhere that he was dead?
I said it.
Oh, you said it. So I said it. But you didn't...
Everything I say, it could be right or it could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure somebody told me that guy was dead.
Okay.
I was talking to somebody over the weekend and saying how much that actor looked like Van Gundy when I was watching the Knicks game.
And then somebody said he's dead.
He's dead.
Hmm. I had thought I'd heard the same thing also. I see here that his wife is no longer with us, but they don't mention that he's passed, which makes me think maybe he's still alive.
All right, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, buddy. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Not that I am like Johnny of all trivia on Vincent Schiavelli, but I do know about 4 or 5 movies he was in, and I believe he's alive.
He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, wasn't he?
He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in Night Shift with Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. He was the guy that rubbed mustard from Henry Winkler's sandwich on his doorpost.
Yes.
He was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right, that one we figured out.
And I do believe he was married to Miss DePesto from Moonlighting.
And I think Rob had that also. Thank you, my friend. Really, no new information there.
Now, this is very obscure, but I'm going to bring it up because it's a similar type of guy. There was a similar type of guy. He didn't have any hair.
He's alive.
But he was the long, bald guy.
Who's
he's alive? Vincent Schiavelli's alive?
Vincent Schiavelli, yeah. He's made movies as recently as this year. He was
in
Three Strikes, an American Saint. Last year, he was in Man on the Moon.
Charlie Broyhill has just pulled up the exact same website. He was also in Baggage. He was also in Prince and the Surfer. There's no picture, Mike.
That's why I was coming over, right?
That's why you were looking. There's no picture.
Tomorrow Never Dies, Blade Runner.
All right. Then he must still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is alive.
And the teacher he played was Mr. Vargas.
In Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mr. Vargas. Perfect, with the heart.
All right. Thank you, Head. Thank you.
There was another guy. He was in horror movies. He was in, like, Children of the Corn type of movies. And he had a big, long, a similar, very long face,
right?
But a little more deformed and a little, and no hair. And he was, he's a guy that was in, they used him.
Is he
a
Van Gundy lookalike also?
In a way, but he's like Van Gundy without any hair at all. And he was in, I think the movie might have been Children of the Corn, or it might have been Witness, one of those Amish movies. And that's what, really, really
one
obscure.
Of them good Amish movies.
One of them good Amish
movies.
And
for my money, there's only two good Amish movies. Witness,
mm-hmm.
And that one with Randy Quaid.
Kingpin.
Those are your two best Amish movies right there. We're trying Gloucester again. This time we're trying the local newspaper, the Gloucester Citizen.
Probably with being a newspaper, they'd be working late.
You would think so.
Hopefully.
Having some cheese. Learning about the world.
All right, Rob, find me a better... Didn't they have any hotels or anything?
Police did not know of any hotels in all of Gloucester.
Hey, wow. Look under Ned Devine.
All right.
Is that the guy you think it is? Is this the other guy you're searching for now?
No, I just watched Waking Ned Divine.
Oh, don't look on Ned Divine. Knock it off.
I'm just kidding. Excuse me. I'm just, you know, it's top of mind. It's a tiny little town in like, Ireland, England.
I know, but you say it, and Broyhill really types it in.
I'm sorry. Sorry like, about that.
Maybe you really start to type in Ned Divine.
I'm just kidding. I'm a kidder.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, you've reached the Daily Planet in Gloucester. No, just kidding. Listen about your car.
Yeah.
Hey, did you check the hair on the ball joints?
All right, come on, goodbye.
The hair on the ball joints.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Guys, Vincent is alive. He's on PBS every week and on an Italian cooking show where he brings an Italian chef in.
Is he really?
Oh, absolutely. He was just in Gourmet magazine or Bon Appetit. He made a trip to Italy. His wife is dead, but he's on every week on PBS.
Well, for goodness sake, someone should wheel him out courtside tonight in Indiana and put him next to Van Gundy because those guys could be like the Gallagher brothers.
Absolutely.
You know, Jeff Van Gundy could take a night off and let this actor coach the New York Knicks tonight.
Wouldn't that be funny? I'm just picturing that, you know. They go to a shot on the bench. Does
Van Gundy ever look anything but just
no
exhausted?
No.
No, whether they win or whether they lose.
That same.
It's always that look like he's just rolled out of bed after he just went to sleep, after he hasn't slept for 4 days.
He's got the flu.
Yeah, and somebody woke him up after 15 minutes, right? And he doesn't feel good.
It's horrible. It really is.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I'm Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hi, there's Gallagher 3. He's not a comedian. He's actually got some redeeming qualities that saves the reputation of the family. He's a Navy test pilot instructor.
You mean
there
was
he's a musician.
There is a third Gallagher brother?
Yep. He lives right outside of D.C. I won't say where. He's the Gallagher that's the famous comedian is kind of like a black sheep. He's a little, well, it's not like they don't like him. He just doesn't associate too much with the family. But
how many is there? Are there only three brothers? Is that the whole family?
You know what? I know this one. His name's Jerry. I know him really well. And they talk about the famous comedian, but I don't get too much into conversation with them about the depth of their family. But I know I didn't even know about the twin, believe it or not. And I know this guy really well. He's a friend of mine.
All right, thank you.
He's a test pilot.
Thank you.
Yeah, already.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, you'd have to come see it, but I now have looked at websites for both of the Gallaghers, and they are amazingly similar. The younger one, Gallagher 2, has darker hair, but other than that, it's hard to tell them apart.
What are the names of the websites? Does it say Gallagher and Gallagher 2?
Well, one of them is Classic Productions, where you can not only book Gallagher 2, but Soupy Sales and all kinds of great acts for your birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, whatever you need.
Soupy Sales.
The other Gallagher is the original Gallagher, and he offers, you know, contests and pictures and all of the things that he always offers.
That whole thing is so freaking funny to me.
It really is, especially if they're having some kind of war.
And there's two Gallaghers.
They are.
In fact, the original Gallagher talks about the lawsuit on his website.
Oh, what does he say?
Well, let's go back and see.
Read it to us, please. Buzz.
All right.
Hey, Buzz coming through everybody.
He is. Absolutely.
Father Time. Look at that. Drinking the elixir of the internet gods. This man does not need a www dot. Buzz coming on strong. I'm going to buy you a mule, Buzz.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to call your wife and tell her to buy you a mule.
All he has to do is mention the mule to his wife. It'll be in his living room when he gets home.
I was merely considering it. It doesn't mean I actually wanted a mule.
All right, what does it say?
Let's go to the original Gallagher, and here it is.
Okay. He's pulled it up.
Yeah.
He's got it.
On Tuesday, November 23rd, 1999, Gallagher and Sold Out Shows Incorporated filed suit against Ron Gallagher, Classic Entertainment Incorporated, and Classic Productions Incorporated in federal court in Michigan. The suit alleges, among other things, that Ron Gallagher and his promoters have violated Gallagher's right of publicity and trademark rights and have engaged in false advertising and unfair competition, thereby creating consumer confusion. The complaint seeks a court injunction and damages. The matter is before the court, and our attorneys have advised us not to make further comment.
You know, we've got to get the rogue Gallagher on this show.
The Gallagher, too.
Yeah, I don't give a rat's ass about the real Gallagher, but I'd love to become friends with Gallagher, too, with G2.
G2.
You know, and become his bosom buddy.
Absolutely.
Right, like
it wouldn't be a total sincere friendship, because we'd be exploiting it,
right,
of course.
No, like the real Gallagher's act is so priceless that nobody could steal it. Right?
Please. I had always heard, until Buzz enlightened us, I had always heard that, you know, they did it
Didn't we, when we first started talking about this,
we heard that they did it in cahoots that
when Gallagher couldn't make some show,
he sent his brother. And it was a way to get double the bookings, to make
still like
double the amount of money.
And Buzz, but you're saying from the very beginning this has been bad.
Ever since his brother set out to copy the act, there's been trouble, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because
if they looked the same, I'd love to know if at any time Gallagher, too, had the blessing of the original to go out and do the act. It's just so stupid.
Well, if I'm a judge, I side with Gallagher, too. I mean, at first, he is struck with the injustice.
And your ruling would be based on the lameness of Gallagher 1.
Well, two things. First, he stuck looking like Gallagher 1.
That's right.
Which is a giant giant anvil around your neck to begin with.
Should have a right to make some money out of that.
And number two, Gallagher's act sucks. I mean, who thinks Gallagher is funny? Right? With the exception of Buzz, who's a big Gallagher fan.
Love season ticket holder.
I'm a Gallagher head.
As a matter of fact, didn't you used to go see Gallagher all the time with your other good friend, O.J.?
Oh, no. Although, you know, O.J., he's innocent.
Would you bring your own raincoat when you go to a Gallagher show?
No, because I love Gallagher so much, I want to be soaked with watermelon.
All right, we're calling one more hotel. We're still working on this Gloucester thing where they roll the cheese.
Very good.
We've called a hotel now near Gloucester.
They do have a hotel.
40 minutes away there.
How far, Robbie?
About 40 minutes.
40 minutes away. To ask about this ridiculous cheese rolling. Which sounds like a great bit for the Gallagher brothers to do.
Married to a Madrid call.
Yes. Hello, love. Hi. This is the Dawn and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Sorry?
Oh, boogers. I mean buggers. Hello. Hello. We're calling from the United States. This is the Dawn and Mike radio show, and we're wondering if you could give us a few minutes of your time to talk about the cheese rolling in Gloucester.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be able to help you because this is a hotel in Swindon, and we're about 20 miles away from Gloucester. And
I know, but
about
hey, listen, love. Have you heard about the cheese rolling?
No.
You never heard they take a wheel of cheese and they
did that in Holland.
No, they rolled a cheese down a hill and then all these blokes run down a hill and try to taste the cheese. You ain't never heard of that?
No.
Oh, come on, love. Is anybody? Could you ask around at hotel if there's anybody that's heard of the Gloucester cheese roll?
Okay, hang on.
Thank you, love.
Now maybe we'll be able to hear her actually ask.
She's asking.
You're listening live somewhere in England.
Well, one of my colleagues does, who's just left. And apparently, lots of people get hurt doing it, though.
Oh. Yes, that's right, love.
As they bust their heads open trying to catch the cheese.
Hey, love, let me ask you something. What do you think about Paul McCartney dating that girl with one leg?
Well, if he's happy, then hooray.
That's what we said. If he's happy, to hell with everybody.
Do you think he takes a leg off when it's time to give us some? Hello?
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
All right. Well, it's just a question. Hypothetical.
We're just wondering.
Hypothetical.
Sorry.
You know, I hate Robbie Williams. I know he's very popular in your country.
I thought the Americans loved him.
No, we hate him. He's a big fag. And I don't
That's a cigarette.
And I don't mean a cigarette.
Hello?
I'm still here.
I'm trying to think right now of anything else from British pop culture. I do like Austin Powers, even though he's really an American.
Hey, love, let me ask you a question. What did you have for dinner tonight?
Me?
Yeah, was it boiled?
No.
Did you have any boiled beef? Any Yorkshire pudding?
Hey, love.
No, fish and chips.
Oh, yeah.
English, come on.
Fish and chips.
Hey, love, when's the last time you visited a dentist?
About a month ago.
Oh, that's good.
Don't you wish you lived in a country where you could get fluoride in your water?
I thought I did.
Oh, you got fluoride now?
Do you really?
That's right, it's back in the Austin Powers days. Right in the 60s when the teeth look like that. That's what they do in Austin Powers. They go back when he goes back in the time machine, and they go present day when he's got on a pearly white.
Well, he got them fixed in the present day. That happened in the first Austin Powers. Remember at the end of the movie he got his teeth fixed when he's in bed with Elizabeth Early.
Hey,
what do you think about Elizabeth Early breaking up with Hugh Grant? Did you hear about that, love?
I did. But yes. He could have done, I think.
What was that, love?
I think it's the best thing you could have done.
Oh, you don't fancy Elizabeth Early?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Do you think she's a whore?
No.
You think she's a tart?
I don't know, so I can't really say, can I?
That's right, there's the difference between an awe and a tart.
But you like Hugh Grant, though, huh?
No.
You don't like him?
No.
May I ask why?
Just not somebody that I particularly like.
How do you feel?
Just as an actor.
When you wake up in the morning, do you wake up every day and say, God, I wish I was living in a great country like America?
No, Australia, actually.
Instead of in a second-rate country
I tend to wake up and I sort of think, oh, God, I wish I was in Australia.
Because of a warm climate.
Yeah, definitely.
And the great beaches.
Definitely.
And the poisonous snakes and the great white sharks that rip you too. It's a dangerous place, Australia.
Hey, love, who's the celebrity you most resemble? Are you hot? Are you hot?
No.
No? Are you a pig?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on, love. Give us the celebrity you most resemble, you know? Give us something so we can fetishize.
I've got to go. The phone's ringing now.
Hey, listen, love, just tell us who you look like, please, love.
I don't know.
Do you look like Dame Edna?
Oh, no.
Hey, well, describe yourself to us. How tall are you, love?
5'7".
Really? What colour's your hair?
Blonde.
How big is your bum?
Too big.
Too big?
Yeah.
And what about your boobies?
Bye!
Oh, she didn't like the boobies part.
She's gone.
Hey, she stood on the line a good long time, though.
Sure did.
I thought she was simply charming.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't find out nothing about the cheese rolling. No, it's because the bloke that knew about that and walked out of the hotel. Bloody Brits. We love chatting with them. We sure do. They're big fun. I like the way you said, ew, Grant. Ew. Like, you know, somebody dropped something on the floor. Ew.
Because you don't say the H. It's like you say, that stinks to Oli L.
That stinks to I, Evan.
Right. Oh. I'll Hitler. I'm just trying to think of all the H's I can.
Hello.
Yeah, that's it. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hon.
You think she thought we was homosexuals? I wonder.
Almost everybody does.
That's for sure.
All right, well, we've actually gotten to the bottom of at least one of the stories we're working on from around the globe today.
Right.
So we do know that they do the cheese roll in Gloucester, England.
Wonderful.
Now, we still have to call Turkey about the drunk guys playing soccer.
Yes.
And we also have to get the Danger Club from Britain, and Buzz is working on the Gallagher Brothers stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Let's do a break. We'll be right back.
For your anal spasm, the Don and Mike Show.
Here we are, waiting for Charlie Stossel to be wheeled into the studio for his weekly look at movies. Oh, look how they poured him out this week.
What did he bring?
Food from the restaurant that sponsors him.
Brought the desserts, two of the desserts. Fried cheesecake and the Oreo cheesecake.
Well, you brought the fried cheesecake,
yeah,
huh?
I brought it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Charlie.
Back there with the deep fryer. Hey, nice chair this week.
Yeah, Charlie doesn't have a chair.
Robbie, can we get
here? No, I'm fine. I can stand. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Chuck Stossel.
All right, go ahead. Do your commercial.
Let's get that out of the way. As long as you make such a production of bringing the food in here.
Hey, it's good. Don, as every week, I'm brought to you by Doc Harry's. You have to go there just for the fried cheesecake. Now, this stuff that we brought today with praline and homemade whipped cream, oh, it's wonderful. Mike. Doc Harry's on Multiplex Drive in Centerville. Give him a call, 703-815-RIBS.
Beautiful. Okay, now, besides all the food you brought in this week, and there's a chair for you, Charlie, so you're right at home.
Oh, dear.
That's good.
That is really good.
How is the food, Mike? I know you just had a bite.
I just had a little of the fried cheese. It is delicious.
Chuck Stossel, everybody. Well, MI2 did almost
$100 million.
I
heard how much you loved it.
And it's not that I hated it. It's not that. It's just that I didn't think it was as great as some people, you included, led me to believe.
I truly enjoyed, and I think that the majority of America seems to agree with me, it is very good. And I'm especially surprised you didn't like the motorcycle stuff at the very end.
I liked it. I mean, I liked it fine.
I thought it was very well shot, and just how it was done, I thought was different than what you normally see.
That part of the movie, the real cinematography of the movie,
oh, yeah,
was fantastic. But because there was so little of that, there was so much more of just Tom Cruise's big face looking into the other girl's
big toothy grin
face, yeah, which they make a joke about in the movie.
Is he a bad skin?
I've never been that close to him. I don't know.
No, Charlie, there's a close-up in Mission Impossible 2 where you do see that Tom Cruise has bad, like, bumps and junk on
his
face.
I picked up a copy of Vanity Fair with Tom Cruise on the cover, and there's an article in that magazine, and they have a few close-ups of him, and he's got that greasy hair happening.
That interview with the vampire.
And he looked like he had
time.
A few zits.
Yeah, there's a close-up in MI2 where he absolutely has it.
No.
And it's not that the movie was bad. It's that I was expecting a whole lot more.
I think, I read this somewhere, if it was Entertainment Weekly or Rolling Stone, that the Bond series should take a lesson from this Mission Impossible movie. It plays a lot like a Bond film, and I think I even brought up, when we talked about it 3 weeks ago or so, that it plays a lot like Face Off as well. And Anderson, that was the part of the movie that you also didn't particularly care for.
Yeah, well, don't you think, and I'll say this again, I'm not giving away anything for the movie.
No, you're not.
Can't beat James Bond with that stealth boat, though.
They do that thing where they rip off the mask. They do it too many times in this Mission Impossible.
It is for one of the bigger plot twists on how things they're not always what they seem.
Yeah, but the last time it happens, it's so friggin' predictable.
Everybody
in the theater was saying, hold on, you know what?
The first time, I didn't think it was as predictable.
Well, I didn't remember. It happens like five or six times in the movie. Mission Impossible, not that great. I thought that I should have saved the aggravation and gone to the Jackie Chan movie that you hated.
Yeah. Well, enjoy.
All right. I'm going to go
see
Jackie
Chan.
I bet you are going to love the movie.
Yeah, and you're...
I'm sure you will.
Once again, that in some roundabout way, that is a put-down.
No, that's
fine.
Not meant to be a put-down. But I said last week, too, I am not the biggest Jackie Chan fan that's out there. I didn't think his last movie... I thought Rush Hour was awful.
I like that movie.
See.
Hey, what do you think about Liz getting laid at the beach house?
I have no idea who this chick is.
You dated her.
I have no idea.
Really?
Said she's a redhead, I believe.
I have no idea.
No memory
contact? How long ago I dated her.
Okay.
And I'm also listening in the back, and she said something to the effect of she looks like a porn chick.
Hello?
Yes. Hey, Homo Joe, it's Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey, listen, would you put the girl on who Stossel dated?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hold on.
She's here right now.
That would be Liz.
Hey, thank you very much.
Liz.
She's here.
Liz.
Excuse me. That was unintentional, Charlie. That was unintentional.
Pikachu.
You can quiz her, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi, listen, Liz.
Yes.
Liz, you dated Charlie Stossel.
We went on one very nice date together, yes.
Charlie doesn't remember.
How long ago was this?
How long ago? I guess, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Where did Charlie take you?
We met in Tyson's Corner. I don't remember the name of the restaurant.
Is it becoming familiar to you at Tyson's Corner? You're not that much of a stud that you've dated so many women that you wouldn't remember one date. You don't remember. Or you do remember.
Could it be that there's a Stossel copycat out there?
Oh, my God.
Some man who claims he's Charlie Stossel, preying on innocence?
Stranger things have happened to this show.
He was wearing a Paramount Pictures jacket or some kind of...
Yeah, that I have.
That fits the everything Charlie wears comes from a studio.
He's wearing his DreamWorks shirt today.
That's right.
So when you met him at Tyson's...
What restaurant did we go to?
I don't remember the name. I'm not familiar with it.
Honey, did you meet this Charlie Stossel through our show?
Yes, I called in because you all were giving him a hard time, and I said I would go out on a date with him, and then we talked on the phone, and then we decided to meet in Tyson's Corner, and we met there for dinner, had a nice dinner.
How did the conversation go? You remember anything particular about the conversation?
He was telling me a lot about his job and about the different movies he was able to see, and I don't know, just kind of, some chatty stuff.
Gotcha.
Now you remember her?
Yes.
Is she hot, Charlie? Is she hot?
You can be honest. She's all right.
Oh,
just a
wow.
There wasn't a second date. I think it may have been a both ways.
Was it a mutual thing?
Did Homo Joe just call Charlie gay?
Yeah, he did.
Put Homo Joe on.
Put Joe on the phone.
He was a very nice guy. If he didn't find me attractive, that's fine. Because, that's...
Did you find Charlie to be an attractive, handsome man?
I thought he was very nice. I really liked him. I thought he was a genuine person.
Right, put Homo Joe on, please.
Okay, hold on.
Homo Joe's raving about this woman, saying she's beautiful.
Hello?
Homo Joe, you think Charlie's gay?
Well, this girl is absolutely attractive. I will give
her
that.
Well, Joe, that might be your type. There are certain types that each one of us would go for.
I should go, we should realize that Timmy said Krista is the most beautiful girl in the house.
But because Timmy likes blondes.
Well, duh, there you go. Everyone has their own likes.
And is this the celebrity that looks like a porn star?
Yeah.
Who does she look like? Right. She says she looks like a porn star.
And if it's a porn star, it's really not the look I generally
go for. Well, actually, she's got long, reddish-brown hair. It's really beautiful.
She have nice big boobs?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Does she have a nice body? The rest of the body nice?
Absolutely.
Nice log splitter?
Yeah.
Always the romantic, aren't you, Don?
Nice.
But maybe turd Charlie cutter. Doesn't like the redhead type. I don't know. But she was a really nice girl.
Well, is she the red-haired type, the washed-out redhead type?
Yes. Yes. It's not bright red. It's like the reddish brown. More of a brunette, I guess.
Who is she?
I'm with you.
Who is she? Maybe with you, Charlie.
Who has she had sex with at the beach house? I forget.
Well, that's the one we walked in on.
Right. Oh, you walked in her. She was laying on top of the guy in bed.
Right.
You know, when you're dealing with redheads, you're dealing with redheads and redheads. I should say that Molly Ringwald is
a redhead.
Is a redhead.
Right. She's not a Molly Ringwald.
Is she more like, was it that chick from Gilligan's Island?
Yes, yes.
More like Ginger?
Yes.
Huh. Really? Oh, see, that's a hot redhead.
Ginger's a POA.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What's wrong with you, Charlie?
She's gay. No, just kidding.
Joe, be very careful. I am not one to screw with that.
Oh, you screw with Hobo Joe, okay?
Oh, my. You two are going to get a pissing contest.
So, Charlie, you seem to have, first of all, you couldn't remember the date. I mean, that's saying something right there.
Well, it says that it was... Now, there's another girl I'm thinking of that I went out with, but it wasn't at Tyson's where we met. It was near Tyson's.
You still don't know if you went out with this woman. You are still not sure, are you?
I'm still kind of at a blank.
Don't do that. Be honest, because...
I'm at a blank. I am actually a little bit still of a blank.
And you know what that is? That says something. Excuse me.
Well, she explained Charlie to
Raspberry.
Do
you want some cheesecake?
What, Jeff? I didn't hear what Joe
that
said.
That says something about Liz, because Charlie hardly ever goes out on a date.
No, I go out a lot. I go out.
When's the last time you were on a date? Since last Wednesday when you were on the show.
One.
On a real date?
Yeah.
With a girl?
No, a puppy.
No, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. A girl who you're not going out with as a friend. I mean, you went with the thought that there might be romance.
Yeah.
And what happened?
We had a nice time.
Can I throw this into the equation here?
I don't talk about this a lot.
It would seem to me if a woman was even slightly attractive, you would have a vivid memory if it was less
than
two or three months ago. So I'd like to throw something in. Are we sure that Liz went out with you? Are we sure that perhaps there might have been an imposter? Or, because Liz has been reported as being a little bitchy, that perhaps Liz is making the whole thing up.
Hey, Joe?
Yes?
Does Liz have very long hair?
Yes.
Is she thin?
Yes.
I know who she is.
Oh, well,
now know who she is.
You are just such the stud.
No, because it wasn't Tyson's Corner where we met. Because
they had to go through his sexual Rolodex.
It wasn't Tyson's, and that's what threw me. It wasn't Tyson's.
His strikeout Rolodex.
I know exactly who. No.
Well, we should get Liz back on the phone to confirm once and for all.
We'll put Liz back on. Hello,
Liz.
Liz. Oh, Liz. Come here, Liz.
Liz.
I said you remembered earlier. Hello.
Liv?
Yes?
Now, Charlie seems to remember you now.
We didn't meet at Tyson's, right?
Not at the mall, but somewhere near there.
Okay, there you go. Yes, now I remember who she is.
Tyson's Corner,
No, we were about maybe 6 miles away from Tyson's.
I'm not familiar with the area. I just know it was the Tyson's Corner area.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly now who she is.
So you, in fact, did go out with Charlie Stossel.
Yeah.
Okay.
And matter of fact, we talked about this. I thought we had a very nice dinner. We had good conversation the whole time.
Yep, that's what I said.
But you would never think of laying Charlie the way that you laid that stranger the other night.
We did not sleep together.
Were you physically attracted to Liz, Charlie?
It's okay, Charlie. It's all right if you weren't.
She is not unattractive, but I wouldn't. I mean, she was okay. She was all right.
Would you lay her, given the opportunity?
On the first date?
No, I mean, just in general.
Would
you lay her?
Maybe. The circumstances were right.
Okay. And Liz, were you attracted to Charlie physically?
I
I'm taking the high ground here. If he wants to be rude, it's fine.
I'm not being rude, Liz.
Well, just tell us, would you...
Liz,
would you lay Charlie?
He was not my type in physically.
The answer is no.
I suppose I was not.
All right, that's fine.
That's fine.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, then fine. Thank you, Liz.
And you know, now I know. Now I remember. You want to know who this person is? She's the one that when we talked on the phone and I described what I and she asked about the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this one? And I said,
how can we?
No, because this is what pissed me off. What little I have, it's dark. And her response was, what little you have? Kind of like that. And then I came in here with the analogy of I'm not going to go and change anything. If somebody doesn't like it, that's fine. It's the same thing.
Oh, I do remember when you said that.
Oh, my God.
This is the woman that drove you out of the dating mode.
She is the one that
you remember when he came in that time
with the
all mad? Remember that?
I called because that was the day he was being bitter about the last date he had gone on. So I called to say...
Oh, my God. This is the woman who turned you against women.
She's the one.
Do you remember that time when Charlie came in all angry?
When he came in one day and he was just all defiant.
I equated this as a woman who has a small chest, who a guy won't go out with her because she's too small. She can go ahead and get implants if she wants, but you got to look at
about that hair.
Oh, my God. I had no idea he was going to be rude. I can be rude, too.
I'm talking about her.
I'm using it
in a general sense.
I believe Charlie was making a comment about breast size as related to a man having a full head of
hair.
Exactly.
Okay, he's not talking
about
it.
I'll see you all at the next Las Vegas style show, and you can tell me if you think I'm unattractive.
I did not say that you weren't.
Liz, I think that I don't think Charlie was specifically talking about your breasts. Because I think we've established that you have big, beautiful breasts.
No. Well, that's not an accurate statement either.
Oh, it isn't. All right.
What, do you have small, lumpy breasts?
No, I mean, they're definitely nice. I mean, I've certainly never had
They're fine.
Fine is not a word.
They don't reach you when you walk through a door, which also doesn't look like that.
Sounds to me like you two are perfect together. It sounds to me like you're already married. The way you two are bickering back and forth, screaming at each other at the same time.
No.
Yeah, now this is the date where you had blocked it in your mind because it was such
a
bad experience.
He came in the next day and he said, that's when you're all pissed off and we applauded the new Charlie Stossel.
Yeah.
Donna Mike, can I just tell you, the day that he came in and he was bitching about the last date he had gone on, that's the day that I called to say I would go out with him after listening to him say what a horrible date he had gone on and how all the girls just want to be friends and how...
Oh, so you weren't
gone.
The... So
no,
you,
I wasn't the one. She may have helped.
She may have helped the process.
You were the one after the one. You may have
exactly.
been the one that really pushed him over.
And I've also said... I may have, pushed him right over the edge, but I wasn't the instigator.
I also said that our date, we had a very nice time and I had no complaints about the actual going out. I had no complaints about that.
No, I didn't either. I had a very nice time.
So did I.
All right.
Very nice conversation.
Thank you. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Goodbye.
Robbie.
Robbie. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi. I have a question for Charlie. Is the only reason why Doc Harry's is his sponsor is because his brother works there?
My brother does not work there anymore.
Oh, well, he used to.
He's just the brother that
hates you.
That hates us?
Yes.
Yeah, I've known Gil for like 6 years now.
Good for
That's
you.
The brother
sir.
That Dennis Murphy interviewed?
Yes.
Right.
Attempted to interview him, yes.
You know, I got to say, I love our audience.
And that was the first thing that they said when I went over there was, we're not doing this because your brother works here.
Right. So like the general manager doesn't have like a Stossel thing?
No.
Thanks for Stossel, man.
he's loopy for the Stossel.
All right, well, Charlie, as always, you've been great talking about your personal life. You aren't here to talk about movies. We have to break, though. We have to break before you give us the lowdown on this weekend at the cinema. Let's clear the lines right now and get a call 100.
All right.
For the secret sound and $500 lies straight ahead. Phone number 877-365-3636. We will take the 100th caller.
Hi, Liz.
And we'll be right back.
Two horny, nasty guys waiting to please you. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Please stand up.
Hey, Slim Shadies.
I repeat.
Please stand up.
Will
the real Slim Shady please stand up? Time for call 100. Right now. Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hola. Who's this?
This is Carl Hudson.
Carl Hutchinson?
Hudson.
Carl Hudson. Where are you from, Carl?
From Greenville, South Carolina.
Carl?
Actor from Salem, South Carolina.
Caller 100, you won the Sex and the City prize pack. Don't miss the season premiere of Sex and the City, Sunday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on the HBO.
Cool.
Are you ready to go for $500?
Yeah.
Have you heard the secret sound number 3?
Yeah, I have heard it.
Beautiful. At least he's heard it. Good. Play it for you now. Give you 15 seconds to think about your answer. It's a common, everyday sound heard around the house. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
FCBG.
And we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
Right, now, you stumped him with FC.
Fried cheesecake.
Fried cheesecake, Bob Goulet, a tribute to all of the Stossel men.
And the ahas are in my favor.
Yeah!
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes.
For $500, what is that sound?
Is the sound of a deadbolt locking?
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope, absolutely not. Thank you. Don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
And now the reason that he actually comes in
yes.
every Wednesday on the show.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico, here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
He'll give us an upfront look at what's coming to the cinema this weekend. What's new this weekend, Chuck?
We only have one movie.
And it is?
Big Mama's House.
Okay. I'm so glad this movie's coming out. I want to tell you something about this movie.
Big Eddie Murphy's Ripoff House.
Ding.
Yes.
Ding.
Yes.
Ding.
Yes. And how dare they put this movie out 3 weeks before
Eddie Murphy's... No. Eddie Murphy didn't come out till the end of July.
Okay, same difference. Yeah. How dare they put this movie out
in the same summer
6 weeks before Eddie Murphy comes out with the clumps. And Martin Lawrence playing Big Mama compared to Eddie Murphy playing all those people in his movie... It cannot compare.
Martin Lawrence, I think, has done something very good, and let me explain. I think that he knows what he does well, and that is...
What does Martin Lawrence do well?
He appeals to a lower brow of comedy. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing. I thought the piece he did on Saturday Night Live a few years ago that got him banned was a riot. But Martin Lawrence, if you look with Nothing But Trouble, a movie that I really liked with Tim Robbins, Blue Streak, but a lot of people like Blue Streak. He knows what to do. Bad Boys of Will Smith. He knows what to do, and he does it well. In this movie, he plays a dual role. He is Big Mama sometimes, and then he's the regular, well, he's all the time the FBI agent. He gets dressed up because he's trying to get a prison escapee through a girlfriend. This girlfriend of the prison escapee comes to look for Grandma.
Careful with the TPC, the tedious plot, TPS, the tedious
grandma,
plot summary.
Grandma, she hasn't seen a long time, and there's Martin Lawrence being Grandma. So he falls for the girl, then comes back as his own self, trying to get the girl here and there, too. So you get a lot of the Eddie Murphy stuff that you've already seen.
So you're explaining the plot, and I'm already not going to see this movie. I mean, it just sounds like crap.
Nobody's going to see it. Everybody who's seen the ads,
I already
know the movie. Not only that, it's also a ripoff of Mrs. Doubtfire. Because at one point, don't his boobs catch on fire?
This movie, $20 million this weekend. $18 to $20 million.
With Mission Impossible and Gladiator still out there?
Gladiator and Dinosaur.
How much? You tell me.
I'm not that confident.
Another pie?
I'll do a pie.
I do a pie in the face. Absolutely.
I would do a pie.
Martin Lawrence movie
does not make $18 million.
No, you said 20 million.
No, I said 18 to 20 million.
$20 million.
I said
20. You stand by at 20 million.
No, I said 18 to 20. No. You want to go 19? I'll go 19. I'll go halfway with you.
I got the difference.
Sure.
Okay, I don't think that there's that many stupid people in America that would give Big Mama a $19 million opening weekend.
Rush Hour made a lot of money.
All right, so you're
saying... Rush Hour did not have Martin Lawrence.
Yeah,
Rush Hour, despite what you think, was a funny movie.
Okay.
Rush Hour was funny.
$19 million?
I saw Rush Hour.
Wait a minute, Charlie. Okay. Hold on. I want to establish the guidelines of the bet now. If the movie makes over $19 million or more... Don gets a pie. If it makes $19 million, you get a pie in the face.
I get the pie.
And it is whatever they announce on Monday.
On Monday.
Okay, because I don't want you to come back and say, well, you know what, that's just a guess. that they might, because don't sometimes on Tuesday, don't they sometimes
they revise
the change
sometimes.
The figures a little
there's
bit?
Actual numbers. There's a math formula that you actually go by. Once you see Friday, Saturday, you can guess what Sunday is going to do, and you it's pretty close.
Dom, way to sacrifice yourself for the show. I mean, even whether it happens or not, I don't know, but way to put your face on the line for the second week in a row. I think
thank
that's
you.
A
well,
round of applause.
It's a sure winner for me.
Okay.
It's an absolute winner for me.
Pie.
Are you kidding?
Pie.
Who's gonna go see that stupid movie? I don't care how lowbrow his humor is. There's not, even if the tickets were
$20.
$20 each. There's not enough people to make a $19 million box office.
I agree.
For that
I really do. I really think that there's a chance Mission Impossible's draw
will still
do another blow it out of the water.
$5 million this weekend. There's no doubt about that. And I think Dinosaur is going to hold up. And I think Gladiator has already shown that it has tremendous legs.
But the main reason, I really do, I think the main reason is you see a promo for that movie. I think I'm like everybody else in the country. When you see that, you go, oh, he's ripping off Eddie Murphy. And nobody wants to go see a warmed over version of Eddie Murphy.
Especially if you're in a theater like I was, where they show the Big Mama trailer, and everybody kind of goes, eh. Then they show the Eddie Murphy trailer, and the people go crazy.
Because Eddie Murphy's is going to, I mean, I don't see how it can miss.
Is a surefire hit.
That's a smash.
Yeah.
Surefire.
There's no way that there are several movies this summer. There's no way the Carrie movie, Me, Myself, and Irene, X-Men. There are a lot of movies coming out.
It's so rare to see a guy do what everybody wants him to do in movies. It really is. Where you go to a movie and you say, hey, you know, Nutty Professor was a funny movie, but the funniest part of the movie was
when he's playing everybody in his family.
And then he takes that and then he makes a whole movie based around the clumps. I think
hope
it's great.
That they don't ruin the clumps or the whole concept. But the second one is
can't
so
ruin
bad.
It.
No way.
Where you've seen all the stuff done already, and it's just a rehash.
I mean, wait, a rehash is fine, Charlie.
No,
people know what they like.
It's not fine all the time. Already in the trailer, when they do the Billy D is already.
But that's hysterically funny.
That's funny. I mean, so you're arguing on the point. And Mike and I, at the same time, said, that's funny. Billy D, that's funny.
I watch Nutty Professor. Every time I watch it, I wait for those moments, and I laugh every single time.
Because
he is so brilliant, and the makeup is so brilliant. Yeah. It's incredible.
What about in the new one where he's playing the old grandma and she's in a hot tub and she takes out her teeth? She spits out her
so
teeth.
Vulnerable, yeah.
Right, she's gonna give him a BJ.
Down, yeah.
That's funny. Funny. And they got the boy who's not even played by Eddie Murphy, the young boy.
When they're the is it the same boy?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
The same fat kid?
Yeah, fat kid.
Oh, that's great.
He's underneath one of those softy ice cream machines and he's got his mouth open and he's just got the ice cream going in his mouth.
I can't wait. Is that the
friggin' winner?
I'm sure it is, and I bet it'll do more than $19 million.
Can we have a screening for that one?
Well, ask the movie. Yeah.
That's the one we ought to have
we'll
a screening
something.
For. The plumps.
Chuck, how many porcelain dolls
we'll
do you give?
Two. You give two.
Two and a half. Big Mama, two and a half porcelain dolls.
I mean, there are times
dolls.
Where I think it really, it's funny, and it works okay. But for the most part, it's okay.
All right, see you on Monday.
Monday we're going to, you're not going to wait till Wednesday?
No, we pay off our bets on Monday.
Monday.
Get out of here, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
There is movie man Charlie Stossel, everybody.
Good two segments with Charlie.
There he goes. Trust me, he's always wrong about movies.
It's, I tell you, it'll be really interesting to see, but I don't think it, I was with him during the Titanic bet all the way, but I'll tell you right now.
There's not that many stupid people in America that are going to make up a $19 million box office for goddamn Martin Lawrence and Big Mama. No way.
He's coming back in.
Yes, Charlie, what?
I forgot the tray I had to take back with me.
Oh, the tray of Doc Harry's desserts?
To Madonna, yes.
His tray of food. All right, thank you, Charlie.
Madonna.
Bye-bye.
That's good.
You bust that table real good. It's like your brother, Gil.
Gil
Stossel.
Gil.
Who hates us.
Is that really his name?
Yes. Gil. You know, Gil Stossel.
Gil Stossel, everybody.
That's the guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's on the phone? Hello.
Hello, this is Maya from Spokane, Washington. I was calling to find out how Wendell's love affair, her love connection is going.
Oh, my God.
Excellent question.
That is a wonderful question.
We'll try to find out for you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
You know, Wendell has not seemed as happy recently walking around.
Oh,
the stage.
No.
A little moody again.
Yeah, I wonder if she dumped him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Oh, hold on, Robbie. Yeah.
Wendell just did an extended weekend in New Orleans. And I know that he threw up when he was down there.
Yeah.
So it might not have anything to do with the young lady. It might be the hurricane.
All right, I'll call Wendell. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Hey. I'm not going to ask a stupid question. Say this is Don and Mike. Of course it is.
Right. Very good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Way to go. Way to think.
Thank you, my friend.
Cool. Hey, guys. Like, I got a problem.
Yes.
last night, like, me and my wife were together, and, like, we had a girlfriend over, and it, like, turned into something really...
Hold on. Try to talk without using the word like.
Okay, I will not use the word L-I-K-E no more.
Very good. Any more?
All right. Thank you. Now, see, we were together, and see, things got really weird.
Dan, in a word you say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Things got really weird. It turned into a threesome. It was my first one and stuff, man. You know?
I'm not here.
Huh?
Next question.
Okay.
What is it?
I don't know.
I beg pardon?
What
was the question?
Yeah, I have a question. I feel bad.
I can't hear you.
I feel bad.
I beg your pardon?
I feel bad.
I'm going to hang up on this guy now, okay?
Yeah, please.
All right, good luck.
Hello.
Thank you.
Don, Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
I think you're in trouble, man.
Why, man?
I'm going to see that movie.
You know what that is? You might as well put a scarlet letter on your forehead that says S.
I got to take my wife. I got to take my daughter. They already bugged me last weekend to take them.
I'm sorry. You have a very stupid family, sir.
I'm a very stupid person. You see where I live at, right?
Well, where do you live at? Let me tell you something, sir. There's stupid people everywhere.
Where do you live?
Upper Marlboro.
Oh, that is a very stupid area. That movie probably will be number one in Upper Marlboro this weekend.
Yeah, I think that area does have a high eye factor.
You're probably right. Idiot, you mean?
Idiot.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that Martin Lawrence movie will probably be showing at all five theaters in their big complex there. You know, when they just run the hottest, like Mission Impossible in some theaters, it's on three at once. They'll have the Martin Lawrence at all five.
Do you notice, though, in certain areas, they do dumb down the theatrical selections?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You will go in there looking for a movie that might be a little highbrow, and then you find, but they've got all the idiot movies all lined up.
Go to Sterling. Go to Sterling, Virginia sometime.
Okay. Very good.
I guarantee Shakespeare in Love never played there. Never. Absolutely. Don and Mike, hello.
All right, no one there.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
This is Rick Dees, if you please.
Oh, he sounded tired today.
Yes, yeah, love with Don and Mike.
Do you guys have the recent copy of TV Guide near you?
I don't know. Do we have the... Turn your radio down, please. Robbie, do we have the new TV Guide?
Here.
We don't have it yet.
Oh, well, it was asked. I have Britney Spears in it, and here's something where you could realize if they're fake or not. You could figure out... Because you can see her in a bikini, and you can see most of her boob, and it's not fake, but it's spectacular.
Britney Spears fan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I don't know how you could discern if they're fake or not looking at a picture, though.
I'm not sure you could.
He's so horny.
All right. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you are so wrong about that.
About what?
About the movie Martin Lawrence. I mean, you underestimate how popular this guy is, and you have virtually guaranteed that you'll lose this bet because at least half of your 6 million listeners will go and see that movie now just because you said it's going to do so bad.
Oh, please, I only wish that I had that Pied Piper effect on this audience. Please.
Well, I would like to come down in person and see you take the pie on Monday.
Are you going to the movie?
I absolutely am.
Of course you are.
I was on the fence, but what you said about the movie guaranteed that I'm going to be there.
Right. Enjoy. You might as well just walk down the street and just throw $7 out the window of your car.
Wait, is Buzz there?
I'm here, yes, sir.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, sir.
Hey, Buzz, I wanted to tell you something. I was highly offended the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I heard some guy imitating you, pretending to be you on a commercial.
You shouldn't be offended by that. I took it as a compliment.
Yeah, and it was intended as such. The imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
That's right.
I stand corrected. It was a great job. And that guy, that Michael Mira guy.
Okay, goodbye.
Michael Mira.
Hey,
hello.
He was working his way through the room.
Hey. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Charlie Stossel had a little bit of an interesting slip of the tongue there, I think.
Really? Why?
He said that the Gladiator has great legs.
I don't think that was a slip of the tongue at all.
Not at all.
I believe he was... speaking from the heart.
Charlie has an actual Gladiator section at his house of videotapes.
With Charlie Vision.
He's got Spartacus. He's got Ben-Hur.
For all of the young Big Brother candidates who come over for a weekend of bathtub fun and movies.
Absolutely. You can go to one section. You know, you got the whole Hercules collection.
Don and Mike, hello.
I've got jitter warts and it burns when I pee.
I heard warts, and it burns when he, you know.
Right. Take a number right. for better service.
You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
who doesn't have warts and trouble peeing? Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey there. I got to first tell you guys I love your show.
Thank you.
Never called in before, and I also want to say I totally agree with you on Mission Impossible. It sucked.
It's not that it sucked. It just wasn't as...
It was stupid.
It wasn't as great as it could have been. Okay.
What? It could have been without Tom. I just feel it's a bad year for Scientologist movies, but that's not what I'm calling about. I'm calling about I was just listening in with Charlie Stossel and your nice lady, Liz.
Yes.
And I was upset. It got me mad.
Why?
Because this nice girl's there, and she's trying to be nice to this guy who walks around with a Paramount jacket on. He ruined her day. She's down the beach, and she's having a good time. And
trust me, listen, she's not giving this a second thought, right?
No.
You know, Charlie Stossel is simply a pair of headlights in her rearview mirror.
Absolutely.
I guarantee that he means less to her than she meant to him.
Liz is generating a lot of interest down at the beach.
Well, she's generating a lot of interest from this other side of this phone, too. I know this may be weird, but I was...
Beach foul time.
Yes, absolutely. Here's the real reason for the call.
Oh, yeah. I would like to be a nice fellow and show her that not all guys live in Washington, D.C.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
He's a crawl space.
Christ. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to touch base and agree with you 100% about the Martin Lawrence film.
Right.
I was watching.
It's a very controversial stand that we've taken saying that that movie will suck.
Well, you're often
exactly.
referred to as a trailblazer.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'll tell you, this is going to really, I think this will impact, the results of this bet will impact the whole summer movie season.
Yes, Mike, you and I will lock arms together in
Absolutely.
Front of all local theaters.
This is gonna be how the whole season goes right now. What's first, what's last. It's all determined on Monday.
Monday.
It's gonna have to beat both Shanghai Noon and Gladiator. I think you're gonna win the $19 million bet, but in those 4 days, MI2 made $72 million, and that was number one. Dinosaur number two with $33.5 million. Shanghai Noon was third with $19.5 million. So this new movie with the Martin Lawrence is going to have to beat Shanghai Noon and Gladiator, which was fourth with $17 million, just to rank up there.
Right.
Those numbers concern me.
Not me.
They don't relax me. They concern me a little bit.
They should make you feel better.
I didn't know that Shanghai Noon, that the third place
but
movie.
Shanghai Moon was going up
is it
against...
Shanghai Moon or Noon?
Noon. Noon. Was going up against the premiere
right.
of Mission Impossible.
Right,
and
right.
And it still did $19 million worth of business.
Oh, you know, okay. I wasn't thinking in those terms. I was simply thinking about the third place movie making that kind of money on a... When I'm, you know, the Shanghai Noon is going to continue to make money.
Yeah.
So
right.
it's not just going to be Mission Impossible.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. This is Maria.
Yes, hello, Maria.
I just wanted to give you a tip on how you can tell if a female breast is real or fake. Female breasts do not come in perfect circles.
Really, honey?
Yes.
All right. So yours are real?
Mine are very real.
Oh, beautiful. Mm. So what, is one bigger than the other or something?
No, just when you have implants, the breasts, they look like circles.
And I wouldn't know this. I've just been told by many guys that also the implants, they feel harder.
Really?
Well,
haven't
you ever heard that, Mike? I think someone told me that one time.
I don't think I've ever touched an artificial, now maybe, I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever touched an artificial breast.
Now, I've heard that's true. Just a natural breast has a slight slant on the top portion of the breast.
You've heard that they're
yeah, at least,
harder.
At least I've got the balls to say I've heard that.
Yes.
I'm not... Okay, thank you. Thank you, Maria. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. How do you weigh in on that, Buzz?
I believe that they are harder.
Well, Rob, come here. Let me feel yours.
That's right. Only my right is an implant.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Are you saying I have no balls?
No, not in the least.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Thank you.
Just sometimes. Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
This is Lawrence out of Wheaton, Maryland.
Yes, Lawrence.
And I'm just calling. I was listening to you guys talk about the girls in the Dewey Beach house. I had met them over at the North, which used to be Waterfront. And I was making that with one of her friends.
With one of whose friends?
I don't know if it was Krista, short, blonde. They're telling me they're in the beach house down there.
Oh, so you made out with one of the girls who's living at the beach house this
week?
Yeah,
one of them. One of them.
All right, good.
Great kisser.
She's all right.
Great
kisser. Does she have real breasts or not?
I'm sorry?
Don't worry about it.
She had real
Thank
breasts?
You.
She had great.
See, you heard him. Then why'd you say what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to let you know, she's a great kisser. And
I'm
way,
sorry?
Is her friend, is it, do you know what is her friend's name? Short, blonde, is it Krista?
Flo.
What is it?
I'm sorry?
Her friend's name.
Yes. Can't hear a word you say.
Is her friend, Lizzie.
I'm not here.
Okay.
Finally drove him away.
That's great.
Our new Jack Kent cook tapes.
Next question.
Right. Thank you. Time out, everybody. That Charlie Stossel, he does get the phones hopping.
He does indeed.
We will be.
What is it?
We will be right back.
America's favorite turgid talkers, Don and Mike.
All right, now our friend Matt Elliott is on one of these lines.
All right.
He called a NFL Europe game this weekend.
You said he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I watched him, I watched it, like, at halftime it was like 31-0. It was a boring-ass game. Amsterdam was killing whoever the other team was, and I kept it on just to hear if Matt was going to say geesh.
Wasn't it the Claymores?
Might have been.
Claymore.
I think so.
Dead sexy.
Here he is now. Let me say from Fox Sports,
yeah.
Mr. Matthew Elliott.
They had a title.
Football player, announcer,
former
bisexual. Matt Elliott. Matt,
speaking of which, how's Bart doing?
Oh, stop it. Stopping you.
Oh,
man. Watch it. Watch it.
My God. What a horrible thought that is.
Say whatever, good note, huh?
Say whatever you want about me.
Yes.
But do as I do. Leave the children out of it. Okay? Okay, Maddie?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Oh, you are one weird duck. It takes you 5 seconds to say something on this show.
Of course.
So, listen.
What a boring-ass game, huh, Don?
Yes, it was.
Yes,
it was, Matt.
I'll be the first to admit.
Matt, you haven't been drinking, have you?
Heavily, why?
I'm just checking. just wanted to check.
Did you use the word geesh as we had asked you to during the broadcast?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
In what regard?
There was a blitz on a play in the first or second quarter. A quarterback took a pretty good lick, and I referred to the fact that, as the saying goes in the NFL, he got the geesh knocked out of him.
Hey, way to go!
You wouldn't
have a tape of that, would you?
En route.
Oh, fantastic.
Beautiful.
Would you like me to dub you a copy?
Oh, please. Absolutely. Now, what quarter was this that you made the geesh comment?
Oh, goodness, I don't remember off the top of my head.
But you did do it, huh?
Pardon me?
You did do it?
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right, good man. So are you all...
I did as instructed.
Are you all done with the NFL Europe now?
For the moment. For the moment. You know, if there's some cancellations or they liked what I did well enough, I might get invited back. But most importantly right now is I've got a couple real games under my belt and, you know, putting audition tape together. And with the help of Rudy, I might get a job.
And I guess you'll now proceed with your plans to audition for the cast of the CBS show Survivor?
Exactly.
Well,
you know what I learned in Amsterdam, though, gentlemen?
Oh, no.
Down in the red light district.
Yeah.
If you try and take the picture of one of the painted ladies, they chase you down the street throwing their shoes at you.
Oh, really?
Throwing their wooden shoes at you.
Yeah, man. So somebody got chased down the street, huh?
I can't say exactly whom, but...
How long were you in Amsterdam?
5 days.
Imagine that, 5 days in Amsterdam. Jesus Christ.
Did you explore all the sights and sounds of Amsterdam besides the painted lady?
I did a few cultural things.
Good.
There's a couple museums and a few other things that inquire intellect that I'm sure you don't want to hear about.
Well, I'll give you a real compliment that I thought that you were much more relaxed than you were in the first game that you called on Fox, and you were also very good with the coloring. You know, when you...
Illustrator?
Yes, the telestrator.
the magic crayon, as it were.
Yeah. Is that hard to use when you're doing a game? Is that difficult?
It's real difficult because it's literally a pen with a cord attached to the back of a television. If you don't lay it exactly flat on the screen, it doesn't write very well. I'm trying to stand up or sit down, and because I couldn't really get comfortable, and I was trying to write on this TV screen that they put at a funky angle, and I screwed up.
That underwear was in bad shape at the end of the game.
What underwear?
Oh, God. So when you get done with this, what do the people from Fox say to you? Did they say to you, because this is always a great way to judge in broadcasting,
right,
what they thought? Did they say, great, we'll call you? Did they say, you're very interesting, we'll call you, or did they say...
Well, the guy that would say, we'll call you, is in L.A. He wasn't actually in Europe, and I spoke to him yesterday, and he hadn't had a chance to watch either of the games yet, but he was going to make sure he did that this week, so, you know, we'll wait and see.
Well, then, fine.
The producer I worked with, though, the two different producers, the one for the first game, he's actually the associate...
That's a bad sign, everybody.
And then the other one produces NFL games, I think about the third or fourth crew for Fox. And they both thought I did a good enough job that it would merit continuing investigating by myself and by Fox.
Excellent.
Well, I thought you did a lot better. I thought you were good the first time.
I appreciate it.
And I think you're using this, as you said, as a stepping stone to maybe a local broadcasting gig with you know, with some local college network or something like that.
I'm working on a couple different things. I've actually got my name out there with the people who produce the MAC football conference, Mid-America Conference, the Mountain West, which would be pretty big. It'd be Utah, Air Force, some of those teams, which are pretty good, a pretty good football conference. And
let's not laugh.
Friday morning with the Indianapolis Colts.
Pardon me?
You're doing something with the Indianapolis Colts?
Hello?
Yeah, what about the Colts?
Oh, to meet with them about, you know, some of their broadcasting opportunities.
Well, hope it works out. Hey, listen, how much do they pay you for doing that? Do you mind telling me how much
it's
you got?
$1,000 a game.
How much?
$1,000.
Oh, $1,000, and they fly you over to Amsterdam?
Yeah, they flew me over, they pick me, they give you a per diem. It's not a bad gig.
What's your per diem per day?
Let me do the math, because they send it to you in a lump. Maybe about $75 a day.
Well, that's not bad. So you had a good time. And, of course, Europe's cheap now with the value of the dollar, so you must have had a good time.
I was able to buy some good hash in Amsterdam.
They put you up in a nice hotel?
Yeah, they were actually pretty good. You know, they had late-night room service and other things, but that, you know, that's for off-air discussions.
All right, well, I hope it works out for you.
I'm facetious.
Did you?
Pardon me?
You mentioned that you bought some hash.
No.
Did you... And I know you're kidding about that. Did you sample anything else that's for sale in Amsterdam?
No, not at all.
You didn't go down into one of those...
The world-famous bar called the Bulldog. I did go in, and I had a beer while I was there. And you go down into the basement, and there's two menus. There's one for booze and liquor, and then there's another menu. You open up, it's like you're at freaking McDonald's for drugs. They have... a list of all the pot, and there's a list of the hash, and there's, you look at it, and you're just thinking, my God.
I was thinking about sex, actually.
Because
you'd already brought up the hash. I was thinking, did you go to a place?
I was avoiding that.
No.
Yeah, you know, I think that the fact he's talking so much about the drugs in Amsterdam is just he's hiding the fact that he probably spent some time in like stirrups or something like that.
Jeez.
Did you get any manual relief while you were there? Because in some circles, that's not considered cheating. Just like I've also heard that eating ain't cheating.
Eating ain't cheating.
Wow, you guys are mean.
We're mean, but we're...
Of course not.
Come on, Matt, tell us where you went. Tell us where you really went, Matt.
I'm extremely happily married. I'd say almost taken aback that you would even infer such a thing. Of course not.
What was the name of the club?
Pardon me?
What was the name of the club you went to where they had, you know, hookers?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
You guys are taking an ugly direction here.
Well, me doth think the football player protested too much.
Oh, stop that.
Really?
Stop.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Don't get pissed.
I was planning on coming to D.C. to visit the boy this summer, so don't make me track you down.
Talking about Rob Spiewak, of course.
Oh, my boy.
You know his new name? He's got a new name on the show. It's Head.
You know, because he has such a giant head.
Exactly.
Oh, here he comes. He wants to say hello to you.
But you can tell them who I have the same size head as, Matt.
Dave Butts.
That's right.
Yeah. Ah, the largest head. Excellent. The largest head in the history of the NFL.
Very good.
He walked until he was three because his head was so big.
All right, well, listen, Matt, you were definitely less sensitive when you were an NFL player than you are now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't married when I was an NFL player.
Right. And how is the
it
wife?
It was okay to talk about hookers and stuff like that, but I've never taken such things.
How's the wife doing?
She's wonderful. And Maxwell is doing great. He's 9 weeks old. He rolled over yesterday for the first time.
Maxwell Elliott.
Yes.
All right.
It works well. Damn it, Max, get off of that.
And get off of what?
I don't know. The dog, the table.
Ah, very
breaking
good.
Breaking things. I'm just practicing.
All right. All right,
buddy. That way.
Well, listen, congratulations on your success with Fox.
Thank you.
You did do great on that game. And sorry that you don't want to tell us what really happened in Amsterdam. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, Matt.
Bye.
Yeah, it's weird. He's usually much looser than that, and he seemed to get a little uptight when we were... We didn't... When we were talking about that, we certainly didn't want to talk about drugs in Amsterdam. We wanted to talk about all that. You know, when I think of Amsterdam, I think you go there, you got women that are in windows and stuff. I mean, all
the whores. I mean, you can get pot and hash there, too, but there are... The whores are the number one trade of Amsterdam.
Yeah, the whores of Amsterdam. The whores of Amsterdam.
He did seem to take that a little, you know... You know, I mean, Jesus Christ, the first thing he says to me is, you know, I say, here's a bisexual Matt Ellie, and he brings up my son.
Yeah.
I didn't flip out about that.
It's pretty interesting, the direction, whenever there's sexual content on the show, the direction it takes with Matt. And Rob, I'd be disturbed that he's visiting your home this year.
Well, I'm glad to have him.
I'd be very, very concerned.
We're glad to have him.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Glad to have him.
The horrors of Amsterdam.
Bring him on! Okay. All right, well, there's Matt Hell here.
There we go.
You know, it must be us, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It must be us, because...
I suppose.
Other than each other and Buzz, right. I can't think of anybody who stays our friend.
I don't understand. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think everything's cool with him. You know, we were chuckling a little bit when the guy from L.A., you know, said he hadn't seen the tape yet.
Yeah,
that was
right.
Just, you know, that's just Matty.
I turned the microphones off. He didn't even hear us chuckling at that.
I know.
I know.
He's going to do just fine. I think he's going to be a big star in television. I think he's going to be... Rob, I don't need you laughing now.
Buzz?
Yeah. It was very weird. It was a very strange conversation with Matt. He seemed to get more uptight than I've ever heard him on the show before.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, we're giving him a shot here, giving him some free pop, and he did good on the game.
He can talk about stalking Rob from behind.
I think maybe your question got just that time a little too close to home, especially since he's newly married and has a new baby. I think your question may have been so close to what maybe might have happened that it made him nervous.
And when he was saying menu, I was thinking just like the Mustang Ranch when they used to have
a
menu.
A BJ.
Right.
Or, you know.
He was trying to change the subject.
Yes, he was. Yes. Yes, he was, Buzz. Very astute, Buzz.
Maxwell.
A smokescreen.
All right.
Maybe Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever talked on the air about that time he came on to you?
Yes, we have.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
We have.
All
he wanted to make me bleed.
That was a quote from Matt Elliott to Buzz.
Just a joke, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then he, you know, at that softball game, he made a similar. It wasn't a make me bleed, but it was just a, you know, I want you to be my bitch or something like that.
Kidder.
He said to me,
"He kids."
Rob, did he ever say anything like that to you?
No, just action.
Just touching. And there was the time, of course, that I went up to his room and he wasn't dressed yet at the Super Bowl.
So we've all had experiences.
I was in the lobby. I had a beer and I simply wanted to wait in the lobby. He said, no. Come up. Come up. And I came up, and then he was asking me what kind of boxer shorts I wore.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's true. You're not making that up, right?
I'm telling the truth.
Right.
He was in his boxers, and he somehow the subject of underwear, and I was in a chair in the hotel room, and I was basically pressed against the... I was just wondering. Matt is always just a very he's a big man. He's a very big man.
And you'd be remiss, although he's never made a pass at me. Remember, he chased Jimmy around with the towel claiming to be Batman.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Jimmy the intern worked for the show. That's just an isolated incident.
But we can't get him to talk about the Amsterdam horse.
Right.
Yeah. But there's a menu for hash.
He can walk up behind Buzz at a bar and rub his fingers through Buzz's hair and say, "I'd make you bleed."
I did say it. I'm sure
he did incidentally.
Yeah, he did.
No, I'm not saying he did. I'm saying he said it.
Yeah, he didn't say that. But
you know what I'm saying?
You know, he was
my
kidding.
Good friend Matt Elliott.
It just got real choppy. It was like going real smooth.
It got choppy in the beginning when I said that bisexual thing. We always get him about being a fag.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Always we do.
Maybe he's ready to make an announcement.
You know, perhaps you could really pick his brain when he comes to visit you this summer.
Oh, I don't know that would be a good idea.
Maybe not.
Mostly we just drink.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's good.
And that's it.
All right, let's go to Guy Birdley now. Very awkward segment we had there with Matt Elliott.
It was strange, and, you know, someday somebody will go over to Amsterdam and give us a complete report on the Amsterdam whores.
Buzz, it's time for the news and the comments.
Right.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
And what is your lead story tonight? The fact that Matt did not get laid in Amsterdam?
No, I'm sorry it isn't. Tonight, don't stand in line. How you can see MI2 in the comfort of your own home right now.
Oh, Buzz, right now.
Right now.
Stand by, by stay tuned, please.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional, Buzz. They'll see you in Toledo. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Get it? See you in Toledo.
Thanks, Joe Arzinger.
And now here is Guy Birdley. Buzz brought to us by Glen Ellen Wine tonight.
Ah.
Taste the new Glen Ellen. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, why wait in line to see MI2 when you can download it overnight and watch it on your computer? That's what Hollywood would like to know. Already, people with camcorders have made illegal copies of Gladiator and Mission Impossible 2 and posted them on the web for your convenience.
Yeah, I read about this in the newspaper today. I was saying it would take, like, if you have a slow computer, like, take 8 hours to download Gladiator.
That's with 56K, and if you have a cable modem, about 2 hours.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Motion Picture Association of America is pissed.
Yeah, but it's that copy that they get when they bring the handheld video camera. It's a, you know, the especially audio. It's horrible.
It's Mike. Caesar kills a gladiator.
Oh, thanks.
Still haven't seen it yet.
Saved you the trouble of downloading it.
So bummed out. Just don't tell me how that Martin Lawrence movie is.
No, it's yeah. Bad photography with the camcorders, right? And then not that great a quality on the internet. You're watching it on a small screen, but if you're really desperate, it can be done. Like I said, the Motion Picture Association is not pleased. Outrageous, says MPAA.
Outrageous, Rick Dees.
If you please. Also the word of MPAA President Jack Valenti. He says it's costing the studios $2.5 billion a year.
Jack off, Valenti. Like they don't make enough money anyway.
Right. $175 million just last weekend at the box office.
They charge us $9 a ticket to see Mission Impossible this weekend.
Right.
Jack off, Valenti, everybody.
Jack says the industry won't take this lying down. Quoting again, what they are doing is stealing. You cannot take copyrighted material and put it on the internet.
Well, they don't have to worry because people just want to see the porn.
Right. Funny you should mention that. AT&T used to be all about reaching out and touching someone. Soon it'll be partly about watching people touch each other. The Wall Street Journal says AT&T Cable plans to carry the Hot Network, a hardcore adult movie channel.
I beg pardon?
Now, you heard me. Hardcore adult movie channel, the Hot Network.
What was the question?
Never mind, Jack. It's a channel that other cable and satellite companies have chosen to bypass, but the Wall Street Journal says AT&T's decision will likely give it the competitive edge.
I can't hear you.
It doesn't matter. They won't take American Express. You have to stick to Visa, MasterCard, or Discover if you spend money on adult websites. American Express says it will no longer offer its services on adult sites, but not for any moral reason. Amex says it's just had too many disputes with customers over what they did or didn't order.
ABBA gives me an erection.
Visa says it's had that kind of problem, too, but it's
member
says
since 1920.
It'll hang in there. Arkansas's Juanita Broderick.
Oh, come on. 1900.
Arkansas's Juanita Broderick, who claims President Reagan, President Clinton raped her.
She was a whore.
Got her business audited by the IRS last week.
President Reagan thinks a tree raped him.
She says that's never happened before, getting audited, and quoting her, I do not think this is a coincidence.
I'll fix her wagon.
Broderick's owned a nursing home for 27 years, and she tells the New York Post there have been no changes that would normally trigger an IRS audit.
Juanita.
Juanita. Two other women who've accused the president of unwanted advances say they have been audited. Paula Jones and Elizabeth Ward Grayson.
This little girl had knockers.
That's one thing I can do. I'm the president of the United States. How your taxes? All right, yeah, screw with me. How your taxes doing?
The IRS refuses to comment. The Clinton administration has denied ordering politically motivated audits.
Do it now, God damn it.
Broderick's lawyer has filed a complaint with the Treasury Department, which oversees the IRS. She gets the result of her audit in about 2 weeks.
And do an audit on that Matt Elliott, too.
One Delta flight attendant is accusing another of rape. Penny Ferris says Michael Young had her up to his room in Rome for wine and sandwiches 2 years ago.
I bet you thought I was gay.
She says he told her he was a bodybuilder and a male stripper, but she says she trusted him because that's what flight attendants do, trust each other. She says she believes he drugged her wine. She says her arms and legs felt heavy and that she couldn't move. In tearful testimony in Brooklyn yesterday, she said she remembers coming to, gagging. She says that's when she realized she was an unwilling participant in oral sex. Oh, dear.
Oh, she was gagging on...
That's what she says.
Wow. Oh, wow. On nature's mouthwash.
Yes, apparently so.
Right, gotcha.
The man's lawyer says Penny is just the victim of a bad dream brought on by bad food.
Well, that's...
Stay cool. Stay cool.
That's a very shifty lawyer who's giving that accusation.
God, he's working everywhere. Another female flight attendant says she had a similar experience with the guy, but she admits to having had consensual sex with him before that incident.
Hey, that's not an oxygen mask.
What are you doing?
That's not oxygen.
The CBS reality game show Survivor debuts tonight.
I beg your pardon?
And several publicity-fueled newspaper accounts today say things got a little ugly on the island.
Will he be on the island?
Oh, this guy? You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
Yes, he'll be there.
Very good.
Yeah, I know you heard that there's one old man on
right,
the island.
Absolutely. 72.
Can't hear a word you say.
72-year-old former Navy SEAL.
There he is.
I'm not here.
Quoting one contestant, I think some people had an awful time. I hated it, says another. She goes on to say, there was some hanky-panky, but I don't know how much. A neurologist from Long Island was one of the competitors. He says, some members of the group often paraded around naked on the beach in full view of the cameras and the other teammates.
That show's going to do a huge number tonight. Who's not going to watch Survivor
sure.
tonight?
Great. I hope it's great. There's been talk of eating rats and bugs, attacked by mosquitoes and sand fleas and festering wounds. But there was also some backstabbing by the other contestants.
Much like our beach house.
Yes, very much so. Quoting the neurologist, they put an idiot on the island, they put a cantankerous person on there, they got a slut and a fat gay guy.
I'm for the idiot.
End quote.
I'm for the slut.
And by the way, the contestants say that during their stay there, they ran out of CBS rice. CBS didn't give them quite enough rice to get by on.
Well, Buzz, we have an exclusive clip now.
Ah.
The clip from Survivor. Tonight, airing on the CBS television network. Exclusive clip.
This is one of the guys is the idiot.
Jimmy, can you catch me? Speak on the other line. Hang on to us. Play it. I'll be down there and help you.
All right. Our reporter on one of the papers writing about Survivor this morning said in tonight's episode, the professor tries to make a radio out of coconuts.
Hey, Bob, it's Carmi, the CBS boss.
He's dropping rice.
Check it in. Time out. Be right back, Buzz.
Two of God's little brown gems, Don and Mike.
Here we are, back with the news and comments, and here's Buzz. Oh, listen, we have a date for the Pregnant Bikini Show.
Oh, a lot of interest in that contest.
That is a week from Monday, June 12th, giving away a trip to L.A. when we get all kinds of pregnant ladies in their third trimester coming down for the bikini contest to answer the Miss America questions and put on some kind of a talent show.
And then there'll be roses and a sash and everything.
Cool. And that is Monday, June 12th.
Right.
The bikini pregnancy show.
Right.
And now here's Buzz.
I wanted to mention also that CBS says it's never gotten as many calls, inquiries from the press and the public about anything as much as it has with the Survivor show. And as you mentioned earlier in this program today, ABC has actually shifted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to put it on directly against it. So it'll be interesting to see how that
really?
Contest goes.
You don't think they got many calls for the show, ladies, man?
I don't know. I have to check, but somehow, no, I don't think so.
The Touched by an Angel with Kathy Lee Gifford.
Syndicated columnist Liz Smith, by the way, reports that Regis Philbin... Regis is coming out with an autobiography.
I thought he already wrote a book.
I think he did before. And
as a matter of fact, it's called I'm Only One Man.
Right. Right. This is about his journey through broadcasting, supposedly.
It's
from
called
the beginning.
My Producer, My Lover.
No, it's called Who Wants to Be Me?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's true.
Did I tell you the other day when I was watching the Regis and Kathy C. show that he was talking about himself? Now, he does this all the time, where he talks about himself in third person, where he says, and they said to Regis, why don't you do this?
Right.
Well, he was talking now about how Barbara Walters is fighting with Diane Sawyer
supposedly
to interview him.
Oh, that's right.
Says, because they both want to interview the millionaire.
Regis.
Everybody wants to talk to the millionaire.
He's so hot.
I'm hot. Regis Philbin, everybody. I'm just waiting for that balloon to burst, baby.
love you, my dear old Swanee.
Hey, who wants to be me? I'm so hot.
Among the folks is D-I-X-I, even though
I know. Oh, he's good.
Turn that off.
Kelman, come on over and Jaomi.
I'm Regis singing, please.
Well, the government's finally decided to weigh in on those low-carb diets. The Agriculture Department says it will test the low-carb diet and the low-fat diet to see if they work and to see if they're safe. Tens of millions of Americans are trying at least one of the diets or some variation of them. The low-carb, high-protein diet developed by cardiologist Robert Atkins lets people eat omelets and bacon and bunless burgers. Some experts say, though, that that diet can damage your kidneys and or your bones.
Well, let me just say this.
Okay.
That I've been on that diet for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I had already lost weight, but I'm down to my lowest weight in a long time, 208.
Right.
And I only have one kidney.
And you have no problems with your kidney.
Zero health problems.
Excellent.
Of course, how would I know?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's like... My
you'd, feel, you'd actually feel pain if there was a problem. You'd probably feel pain in there,
yeah.
You know, based on that. And one of the things I heard that Atkins, when he was defending himself, and incidentally, when they bring them all on those Today shows and they put all those guys side by side,
right.
Of all the guys, Atkins is the one who just seems to me to be the guy that has the most logical explanations for things and a lot of medical evidence backing him up, and I haven't heard that from the other guys.
So let me just say also, to succeed on the Atkins diet, you kind of have to be stupid like I am, meaning, and by stupid what I mean is, I don't like a lot of variety in my meals.
Right.
Meaning that every single night, I go home and have the same thing for dinner. I have a steak and a bowl of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Every night. Same thing for dinner.
And that's the way you do it, but I mean, if people want to, you know, use proteins and stuff like that, they can do it that way too. You know, but it's easiest if you have something, you know, if you don't care about, you know, variety.
Yeah, right, so it's easier for me.
You're very focused. Hence the way we look. There you
right.
Go. I have a little trouble with staying on the same thing night after night after night. But yeah, I don't have to, I mean, but it's just, it's more effort to do it the other way. It's easy if you just have
it's easy if you just say, you know what, same thing. I'm going to have a big slab of meat
right.
and a bowl of some kind of vegetable, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Right. Well, still, most experts agree that the best way to lose weight and keep it off is to eat less and exercise more.
Well, F that.
Exactly.
You just say that. Well, I should say exercise is always highly overrated.
Right.
I've had my share of exercising. I still go running sometimes. Highly overrated. I'd rather just starve myself for a day.
Well, F you. But yesterday's headlines are today's corrections, as it turns out. First, doctors at Houston say Eddie Van Halen does not have cancer of any kind. Yesterday, we correctly told you that there were reports he had cancer of the tongue.
We're happy about that, Bud.
Yes, we are.
Thank God.
Oh. The doctors, though...
Was that Eddie Halen without a tongue?
Yeah. Hot food and cheek.
The doctors say he's actually just taking part in clinical trials to find a cure.
And you really got me?
And second...
It's his career that has cancer.
Oh,
God.
And Jodie Foster is not pregnant. At least that's what she's saying.
Oh, my.
Yesterday...
Next question.
Yesterday, we correctly told you that London newspapers were reporting she's 11 weeks pregnant with a second child.
Oh, she's pissed about that story you read
yesterday.
I'll bet
she is.
Yeah,
pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Love that bad journalism. Buzz Burbank. I heard it.
Not my fault, Jody. Really not.
I heard that.
Foster's publicist says the rumor probably got started when someone overheard Jody say she'd like to have another baby.
Jody.
And it's just like your mother said. Live well, die young, and you'll get a made-for-TV movie about yourself. Fox Television says it's won the rights to the best-selling book, Prince Charming, the John F. Kennedy story. John F. Kennedy Jr. story. Fox hasn't found anyone to play him yet, but the name's...
Oh. Ross Beeler!
He's standing right here.
All who's
right,
that?
Let's leave now. We're going to the Vineyard. I'll be flying.
Freddie Prinze Jr., Patrick Dempsey, and Ewan McGregor are being considered.
Oh, they all would suck as JFK Jr.
Yeah. That's all they have so far.
I mean, you get like... Tom Cruise or something like that to play JFK Jr., right?
So I decided to take on the role of JFK Jr. Yes, there was a lot of controversy, but I dyed my hair, grew it out, shaved my beard, bingo. JFK Jr.
Rod Spiewak is JFK Jr.
That's right, JFK.
Buddy. Yeah. Hold on. You know who'd be excellent?
Ooh.
Who's that guy we were talking about who looks like Jeff Van Gundy?
Oh, the
Vincent Schiavelli.
Vincent Schiavelli.
That's right. Get off my train!
Hold on, we got to do a break.
Okay.
We'll be back another full segment of news and comments.
Remember their secret. F like a whore, but look like the girl next door.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Words to live by. Now let's go with a bonus segment of news tonight.
Yeah.
Here is Michael J. Birdley.
If you sent a birthday card to someone in the Boston area a couple of years ago and it never got through, blame Phil McGregor.
I did. I sent one to Carl Yastrzemski. It said, "Dear Carl, happy birthday, you fag."
And he didn't get it.
Well, that's
Phil's
fault. He got it. He called me and told me.
Phil McGregor's just been sentenced to a year's probation for flushing mail down the toilet at a distribution center.
I still have that, incidentally. I still have that defaced autograph.
The Yaz is a fag picture.
You know, and it wasn't autographed. I will give you that credit. It was It was simply a treasured photograph of Carl. I actually,
full color, right?
It was. I think, no, it was black and white. It was a black and white photo of Yaz and just his head, and you wrote on the very bottom, "Yes, is a fag." But fortunately, I have two other autographed items from Mr. Carl Yastrzemski.
Well, Phil, working at the post office, Phil was accused of flushing mail down the toilet. Postal inspectors got suspicious when the toilet kept clogging 2 years ago. The plumbers found greeting cards in the pipes. Greeting cards sometimes contain cash and checks, as you know. 48-year-old Phil McGregor was then caught on security video removing pieces of mail during his shift and then entering the restroom.
What about the other guy? Phil McCracken.
He's still employed.
That'd be a better name for the guy stuffing stuff down the toilet.
Right, yeah. The city of New York yanked 5 double-decker tour buses off the streets yesterday.
Yeah, are these the ones that Ken wanted us to have our publicity pictures taken
on? Big Apple Tours.
Some of them are in this case. Now this thing is expanding. Last week, one of those buses from New York Apple Tours struck and killed a soap opera actor. That bus, by the way, that company owns 3 of the buses that were dry docked yesterday.
You know, and that was a big story when we were up in New York last week. You just become aware of them, more aware than you normally are.
Right.
And I'll tell you something. I saw one going down, I think it was 7th Avenue, that was going, I couldn't believe it made a turn going at that speed. It was going the speed of some of those cabs, you know, when they put the pedal to the metal. It was incredible.
Let me just say, the people who get on those buses in New York are the same people who will be going to buy tickets to see Big Mama this weekend, starring Martin Lawrence.
That's right.
Thank you.
Well, the moral of this story is those aren't the only buses to be concerned about. Gray Line Tours owns the other 2 buses that were taken off the streets yesterday.
Is that the bus that almost killed us, Robbie?
Yes, it was.
That brings to 9 the number of tour buses that have been sidelined. Their problems include leaking fuel, faulty shock absorbers, and smoky engines. One bus had a definite lean to it.
They must have taken it to your mechanic.
Cops have handed out hundreds of summonses since last week's accident, some of them even to buses that are owned and operated by the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Bette Midler is getting her first TV show this fall on CBS. Oh, no, if you've seen the publicity pictures, and I have, she looks surprisingly thin. No.
Let me say, you can dock that picture.
Absolutely. Not what happened here. New York Daily News gossip columnist Mitchell Fink had heard some talk, so he asked Bette's publicist if the Divine Miss M had some kind of parasite in her system.
That is so jive. That is so contrived.
You think?
Oh, I think it's like it's coming right out of the studio.
Okay.
I mean, I think you're the newsman. You tell me.
I don't think so in
really?
This case, and especially as we learn more here.
It just sounds to me like it's something you would say, "Oh, Bette is so thin, she must have a tapeworm."
She really is thin. I mean, unbelievably thin, because I've seen this picture, and I've seen her before.
Have you seen a videotape, though, or have you just seen a still picture
of her? It was a still photo.
Okay.
She may be thin, but she is still the female version of Head. She has an enormous
the female head. Rob Spiewak.
She's very busty.
My girl.
This Mitchell Fink says the publicist poo-pooed the idea that there was a parasite. No, that can't be, she said. But then he says the publicist later asked Bette about it, and sure enough, Bette said that she had started losing weight after eating some sushi that made her sick a couple of months ago. It wasn't a parasite, says the publicist. It was a stomach flu, and it lasted for 3 weeks.
Oh.
I'm now on that same diet.
Do you think that maybe the key word in all of that story is the word publicist?
Well, that's who you call when you have a question about a performer.
You say you're on that same diet. Is yours lingering?
I'm not entirely well.
We noticed you were kind of sacking out over
since,
there.
Since Saturday night, I've had 2 bowls of soup, a couple of glasses of milk, a half a baked potato, and the rest just like Gatorade and soda. That's all I've had. I've had no real solid food since Saturday night.
Wow.
I'm feeling weak.
Really?
Indiana coach Bob Knight says he doesn't need anger counseling, and he says he'll be...
Oh, he was fantastic in this ESPN show last night.
I saw a clip of that.
So defiant.
He's back in it.
So defiant, so ready to throw it back in everybody's face. Like, what he was... It was that prick Roy Firestone...
Right.
...who said to him, what about the first time you lose your temper?
Mm-hmm.
What about the first time? And he said to Roy Firestone, Roy, in your everyday life, don't you ever get mad? Couldn't I go through a snapshot of your life and find a time when you've gotten mad at somebody?
Right.
I mean, he turned...
And that's when Roy Firestone just took a swing at him.
Roy Firestone, big orange Bozo the Clown hair.
What the hell did he do to his hair? Was there not time? Was there not a time when he had jet black
dark,
hair?
Right. Very dark hair.
Right. And then somewhere along the line, he went with this henna, like Tiny Tim hair.
When we used to have Roy Firestone on this show, when he would do his... Biff Barnes impression.
Biff Barnes, the sports guy talking
right.
about Coach Joe Gibbs.
Right.
Well, Bob Knight was very smooth yesterday handling the reporters. He spent an hour with some newspaper reporters and other journalists, and then he spent an hour with ESPN, which is what Don saw.
Just a suck fest. I mean, Digger Phelps might as well have camped out in Bobby Knight's anus to do the story. You know, and Roy Firestone was supposed to be the guy
right.
who was asking the tough questions. Here's the Roy Firestone that we used to know.
Right.
We used to have him on the show all the time to be this fake sportscaster.
Mm-hmm. Hello again, everybody. This is Biff Barnes with a special load of Joe Jacoby.
It's funny.
Our TV spots here for Theater Vision. And, of course, Coach Joe Gibbs from the Redskins, who had a boil removed from his butt last year.
Roy Firestone cracked our ass up.
It's hysterical, Biff Barnes.
And, of course, Rudy Martsky today in USA Today, the headline.
Uh-huh.
Firestone Phelps didn't shy away from prying questions.
Of course, because Rudy's going to be like having a bagel with them in a week.
Kudos to Roy Firestone and Digger Phelps for firing tough questions at Bob Knight and attempting to pin down his responses in their one-hour interview. Now, it was anything but. I mean, it was great. If you're a Bobby Knight fan, it was great to watch him weasel out of this stuff.
But the thing is, and you know this if you're doing the interview, right? If you have that form and you've got the opportunity to interview Bobby Knight, what's the number one thing you want to do? You want to ask questions that'll get him mad.
Right, exactly.
You want to piss
exactly
him off.
Exactly what you want to do.
And they didn't. They really didn't. I mean, the closest they got was when Roy Firestone said, do you think you need anger management classes?
Right.
And Bobby Knight's answer was, I've been married for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife is pretty good at handling that with me.
That's exactly what he said.
And that's when you would go to the fax machine and just read faxes that says he's not a patriot.
That's right. I would make up faxes.
And get him very angry.
I'd say, Bobby, I have a fax here from Mr. Michael Elston, who says, you're a giant pussy and you can't control your anger.
And just keep going and going. And if that didn't get the response, you get another fax. And you finally hit that nerve, that open wound.
Well, Knight talked about being suspended and fined for his past outburst in these interviews. And, yes, he did say that his wife is, and I quote, as good an anger management instructor as they come. He also said he'd be surprised if anyone, including reporters and referees, could bait him into more trouble.
Oh, okay. Well, that addresses that.
Quoting him, I can live with any set of parameters as long as I don't have my mouth taped shut. I have to talk a little bit. I sure as heck would have liked to have shown better discipline in the past. I'd be an imbecile if I didn't think that.
And they did show some great tape, including the time that he came to a press conference with a bullwhip. When he was pissed off, and he starts cracking the bullwhip at the reporters.
I'll tell you, I think a lot more people are going to watch Indiana basketball games now based on that, just to see if something lights his candle.
Me too. Hold on. Time out, Buzz.
All right.
We must break. Toe-tapping touchstones. It's your last chance today to be the 100th caller with a prize package we've selected especially for you. So please, for the love of Christ, be assertive.
But like Bobby Knight is assertive.
Right. Yes, phone number 877-365-3636. We will take the 100th caller right now.
If it helps, cover their faces with your thumb while you listen. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzzito.
In sports, Game 5 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Final is tonight in Indianapolis. The Knicks and the Pacers go into the evening tied at 2 games apiece.
Oh!
Van Gundy!
The Trailblazers lead in the Western Series. They'll play the Lakers again Friday in Portland. The New York Rangers will reportedly announce former Edmonton Oilers coach and general manager Glenn Sather as the new GM for the Rangers.
That is a good move.
He would replace the fired Neil Smith. The Rangers won't confirm any of this, but they say they are having a news conference tomorrow. Fans may have to pay to see the Washington Redskins practice this year, but the team will pay dearly as well. The Washington Times says NFL rules keep scouts out of practices so long as there's no admission price. But the rule allows scouts to attend any event where an admission is charged. That means scouts will be
able...
That's
pretty significant, isn't it?
That's a true rule, but what the Redskins are saying...
Right.
I mean, I don't want to jump in and finish the story, but what the Redskins are saying, their spin now is, well, that's okay. We're not going to put any of the real stuff in until we close the training camp to the public.
Hmm. So, in other words, what they're saying is that training camp is not going to be all of training camp.
Right. They're not going to put any of the plays in or anything. They're just going to be doing jumping jacks and junk like that.
Interesting. Unless that's a bluff, too. In which case, the scouts will be able to see the drills, and the paper says that...
I hate to belabor this, but is what they're saying then that the people that are going out and paying the $10 for...
$20.
The $20, $10 for parking, right. $10 for a ticket will be just seeing calisthenics, and they won't be seeing them running actual plays?
Yes.
And it's whether the drills are real or not. The newspaper says at least three teams are already planning to send scouts with video cameras to those practices.
Serves them right.
You know, all these new guys, man, doing all sorts of different stuff.
Serves them right.
Finally, saw an item yesterday that said businesses in Los Angeles are complaining about the use of their streets as public restrooms, mostly by homeless people. They want the city to make public urination and defecation illegal.
Especially with Allison and Flo.
Believe it or not, there's apparently no law in Los Angeles against public defecation or urination.
Don't we know that already?
The business people want violators to be fined.
And Leah.
I didn't know that.
Sure.
Oh, well, this story didn't impress me as much as the one that caught my eye from Rio de Janeiro. Officials in that Brazilian tourist Mecca say they will now spray the city with strawberry perfume to cover the smell of urine left behind by drunken partiers.
Oh, God.
They also plan to install more public toilets, an idea that's also been proposed in Los Angeles. But for now, in Rio, they will spray statues and trees and curbs with strawberry perfume, which you'll be proud to know is made in the USA.
Great, so now Rio will smell like Aline Cunningham.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yes, that's it! Got to go back with the all-new episode tomorrow.
Right.
Right now it's time for Call 100. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
I am Caller 100.
Right. Well done, my friend. Who is this?
This is Frank from Wichita.
Frank in Wichita, listening on KFH. Frank, you won the Sex and the City prize pack. Don't miss the season premiere of the hottest show on TV, Sex and the City, Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And that is with promotional consideration from the HBO. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to the entire show today.
Yeah.
That's it. Back tomorrow with the all-new episode, including another update from the beach house.
Yay. Yeah, and we're doing that bikini thing, too, right?
Yes, the pregnant lady bikini contest. News on that. And also tomorrow, we'll get to the bottom of the anorexia riddle with TV's Leah Remini.
Yeah.
All of that coming on tomorrow's episode. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you, good night, Mike.
Thank you, good night, Don.
And now, Robbie, yes. Throw your beret in the air. Throw it just like Sydney.
Come on.
You ready, Mike?
Yeah, Don.
Tyler.
Come on.
More. There we go. You
might just make in your mouth.
Well,
oh,
now,
yes.
Look at that.
Yes!
Look at that.
Oh, yeah!
That was wonderful.
Wild.
Reminds me of Homo Joe's condom. You tomorrow, everybody.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show on Hot Talk 1330 KFH.